This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. Maybe that's why the CD didn't work during the thing. And I didn't even load in the theme song. My God.
Well, goodness.
I don't have your mic on either.
Well.
Okay, let me do this while I get the theme up.
Please do this.
The new and improved PSA part.
Ooh.
38 years after Stonewall, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people are celebrating Pride Day around the globe. We're still fighting for basic human rights. We're fighting for our lives, from Serbia and Lebanon to the Castro District. We'll look at AIDS organizing, Latino LGBT organizing, transgender rights, and the contribution of queer intellectuals, and much, much more. Tune in to Pacifica's LGBT special called Pride and Resistance. Check your local station's website for details.
KPFT airs the National Pride Special on Monday at 7 p.m., followed by Queer Voices at 8 p.m. You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
And now for the Claxton you know so well.
Oh.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world.
Yeah.
With breath control like that, it's amazing I'm single.
It's your gag reflex we have to discuss.
Sadly, it's still there. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. I think I feel like I should be speaking faster so people are still going to hear us.
He'll explain that later, folks.
Yes. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I think you'll find the Attitude portion this week.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jerry Falwell could find the Attitude we'll have in a little bit.
Okay. And who are you?
My name is Chris Harrison.
And what are you?
Yet to be identified.
We don't have that much time.
As
I will be speaking on behalf of myself, and not the views I will express later do not necessarily represent KPFT, After Hours, Jimmy Carper, or any person living or dead in this universe, world, planet, or whatever.
Oh, I don't know. You probably will express the views of After Hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're bringing in the soapbox now. I had a little bit of reinforcement to do.
Yeah.
My name is Chris Harris. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. We had a parade.
We did?
Yes, we did.
I blinked. I'm sorry.
I thought it was a marathon.
Felt like it. Sprint. That's what it was. Did we get corporate sponsorship from Sprint this year?
Oh, maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Woo-wee. Yeah, it went by fast.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
That went by really fast.
We got about a third of the way when they finally went back and got me and said, get up on the float because you're not going to keep up.
This was not a parade for anyone who was walking.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the point that they were trying to make. I mean, what, 30, 35 minutes tops?
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I mean, like I said, you blinked, you missed it, you know.
I know, we didn't get a chance to really react with the crowd like we normally do.
Yeah, and this time we had where's my list? I got to make sure.
And we had a fabulous, to coin a phrase from Jack Walensky, fabulous entry. KPFD had a wonderful entry in the parade this year. And Chris and I were just treated like queens.
Literally. Treated like yourself?
Literally. I mean, there was a whole group, Eddie Garcia and his committee of folks put together this entire entry, and Chris and I just kind of showed up and got on the back of a truck, and that was it.
Yeah, well, I want to start off with thanking.
Yes, please do.
Bill, David, Eddie, Lee and Masad, who worked at the festival, John, Cheryl, Robbie, Mary, Dion, Michael, Melinda, Christine, Billy Goat Matt.
Oh, yes.
So
Billy Goat Matt. Yeah.
Billy Goat Matt. And anyone else who helped with that. And also, you'll hear more about the Pride Parade and that from our reporters on KPFT News on Monday, Ron and Nick. And anyone else who helped put this. I mean, this was
great. It was great.
This was a float that, it was the best float I think KPFT's ever put in there.
We had a sound system.
It crossed the line.
We did, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nobody had to push it. It was great.
Which couldn't be said for some float that was ahead of us at some point.
Oh, really?
Something with a bunch of cowboys on it.
I see.
But you know, apparently it had to step aside for a moment or something. I don't know.
Ooh.
It stopped. Water a tree?
Oh.
Yeah. But no, this was. We
had a sound system. We were doing an after-hours show. We were playing music,
and it went by so fast. I didn't get to play "Pop You in the Pooper."
I know.
Damn. I made up a 78-minute CD to play,
and he had to start skipping songs just to get the
ones through that I did. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't get our music to play, so at least you got something. And we'll be playing some more of that music here.
Yes, we will be playing the entire CD, actually. Then this was the music that we were going to... Well, actually, we did, but we didn't get a chance to play all of it. We expected to be able to. Normally, one CD is not enough.
Of course,
for a parade.
And I had to reach in and grab the money shot early.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, he did a special CD of special anthem type songs to start playing when you got around to our chances and, you know, and Mary's and the review booth and all of that.
After I dropped you back off at your car, I came down the parade route so I could actually had a chance to see the parade route.
I think I made Ernie Manous do a double take. That's a first.
Well,
we were interacting with him.
Yes, we were. Yes, he was talking to us, and we were talking to him. Okay. And yeah, cool.
Yeah, we were. That's the power of having two microphones and speakers.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's Ernie Manous. Oh, there's Jimmy Carper. It's great.
I saw people I recognized along the route, but as a whole, I mean, we were moving so much that it was like,
I saw them from about a half a block away in back of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Blursville.
Yeah.
It's like,
I would hear Jimmy, and then they were gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Still in all, I had a good time.
I won't say where I was when I met these people, but... I was waiting in line. some long-term listeners to After Hours I met. Guy and his mom, who he is part of our straight but not narrow listenership. And he and his mom, in fact, she was telling me more about the show than he was. She knew that today was Stanley's and my anniversary.
Which was better than Stanley.
Yes, actually. yeah, Stanley forgot. well, it's been 29 years. I mean, you know.
And he is the older of the two.
Yeah, yes. And, you know, she would just pop in with, oh.
Sweet Jesus, actually leaving a message on High Five Works.
What?
I was about to mention, by the way.
Did you get my message, or did someone drag you down here?
No, I just came. I didn't get to,
Mr. Stephen Bratson just walked in.
Hello. I tried to get my parents to come, but they were old people and had to go home.
I'm old people, and I'm here.
Well,
I'm older than they are. They have no excuse. I hope they're listening.
They might be.
Now I'm going.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So, and if they are listening, now I'm going to grope your son. Okay.
Oh, if you had read my email, you would have known that was going to happen.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh. The hell you wouldn't.
Busted.
I mean, I'm usually the demure one on those sorts of things. I had him bent over a table two or three times during photos.
Excuse me?
Yeah, we were taking pictures, and I threw him across the table. He was going like, yee-haw, yee-haw. And then when Paul started to take the picture again, I dragged him back up.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Anyway, I was glad to have met this couple, the son and his mom, who listened. I mean, she was telling me stuff that I mentioned on the air years ago. They listen every week. Straight but not narrow, son and his mom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yay.
It was cool. And then came up to me. Wow. Like, how did you know me?
Well, you know, you have been seen around a little bit. You know.
We all have radio voices.
Not where did they see you exactly?
Yeah, well, not where they go.
Maybe they heard just your voice, and it was like, that must be him.
It could be.
Well, you know, let's see, he was in line at the porta potty, so you were in all pink and on your knees. They probably figured it was you.
I was not on my knees, but I was in all pink.
Oh, that is just so perfect.
Boom, boom.
Yes, I was in all pink, yes.
All pink, my God.
Hey, somebody once recognized me by nothing but my voice.
See?
So. Okay, it could happen, and you have a much more distinctive voice than I do.
Oh, yeah, I've got the Montrose fag voice.
Yeah. For those of you who think, you know, Jimmy was wearing a little bit of pink, I describe it this way.
Yes.
A pink flamingo ate salmon for dinner.
Oh.
That had swallowed a pink crayon. The flamingo got sick and then exploded. That still had less pink than Jimmy had.
Every article of clothing on my body was pink. Every article of clothing.
I mean, pink jeans, there was a pink shirt, pink socks,
underwear,
pink shoes.
Yeah.
You wore underwear?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't.
That well, that's because when I, you know, make my annual bow to Mary's, I open them up and flash my pink underwear at them. Okay.
Yeah. He wore a pink cowboy hat.
With lights.
With lights.
Yes.
With
lights.
And a pink shiny shirt.
And a pink feather boa.
And a pink feather boa.
Oh, my goodness.
I did have another boa, though. It was rainbow.
Yeah, I know, but we lost it. Yeah, but the people behind us kept getting wind-whipped with it.
That, a rainbow boa was that...
Hey, people wouldn't know me if I
that,
wasn't...
That
I didn't
parrot listen to that it. Hit him on the...
And what color shirt do I have on right now?
Pink.
Thank you.
That he died.
Well, rainbow. Yeah, with the rainbow. Yeah.
Oh.
And I did not wear this in the parade.
Yeah, no, we had enough time for you to go home, get cleaned up.
I took a shower.
I had time to probably go home to Willowbrook and come back.
It was quick. Woo-wee.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Boy. Stephen, were you walking or?
Feefling.
So. Were you walking or running?
Yes.
Yeah, see? Woo.
There was times when we were running, yeah.
You know, David out there at the desk.
David's behind you.
You know, David, right. With all those...
He came... After we pulled into the driveway, he came up 10 minutes later with John. And he looked like death warmed over, you know. It's like, oh, my God, the poor guy must have had...
I am thankful that my fat ass wasn't walking this year.
You know,
we would have had to knock you down and roll you through the parade.
Well, you know, rolled me down just three or four up because there was ambulances, you know, about four slots in front of us.
Those thrilling.
Oh, I know, and I could just wait. There was a United cab was what six behind us. So,
see, there you go.
Not United. I'm sorry, Liberty.
Yeah, and if I had walked...
Those frilling people who want to do things to the parade,
you
what,
really don't
is one
underwear?
Of their changes a marathon run?
We're exploring other avenues. Talk amongst yourself.
Skip the festival, make a...
He's not wearing shorts, how can
you... I don't see anything up there.
Did y'all see those shirts the Lutheran church was wearing?
No. Brokeback
Lutheran.
No kidding.
Yeah, we got a picture of it.
Whoa.
And I'm back Lutheran.
Lutheran?
Well, I was... somebody else described me as Brokeback Mountain meets Rhinestone Cowboy.
Oh, well, that it really is a perfect description.
And the pink cowboy hat had a tiara on it.
I was thinking rocking chair cowboy, but okay.
It had a tiara on it. Plastic, ouch, though it may have been, it was still a tiara.
Ah, bling is bling.
There you go. As well as lights.
Oh.
Hey.
But no, we really want to thank the KPFT, I think it's the Outreach Committee who...
Oh, absolutely.
Who did what they did for us there and, you know...
They made a dream come true for me because as long as I have been marching in the parade, I have wanted to do exactly what we got an opportunity to do tonight, is to sit in the back of a truck and, like, do an after-hour show. Oh. We had a sound system and everything. We had microphones. So, Chris made a special CD of queer anthems, and we were talking to the audience. It was great.
I came back here and I had that Vegas awesome. Throat.
Yeah.
I was
yeah. Yeah, it was incredible.
Wait, you had a show? You were playing a show?
Well, we had microphones there, so I had this CD that I made, you know, about 78 minutes worth of music. That this is all songs.
You only need the 25
that we play on the show. Yeah, if I would have figured out how to, you know, speed it up on
yeah, really.
Hey, I didn't even get to pop you in the pooper.
I know. He wanted so much for pop you in the pooper to come on as we went by the judges' stand.
So what did you play?
Huh?
What did you play?
What
when
did you
went
manage to get through?
Well, when I got to the close to Chances, I put in what I call the Money Shot CD.
Yeah.
So it started off with, as we started the show off here,
I
Love to Be Queer by Rent. And the second song it was supposed to be was...
Proud.
Was Proud. But we were all... By the time we got to there, we were already under the chandelier.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit a fast forward and played La Revolution,
yeah,
a big nug.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a little bit peppier.
Well, that's what somebody was asking. Somebody kept asking me if I knew what they were going to be putting up there this year. I didn't know.
I will say this. Of all the things I'm going to say, you know, they always say you can say something nice about everything.
Oh, that chandelier was fabulous.
That chandelier was the best chandelier they have
ever.
It's the best thing they've ever put up in there.
Yeah.
Yes, it was fabulous.
Yeah. From what I saw it in, you know, I saw more of it actually before they hanged it. before they hung it up.
Hung it, yeah.
Because when I drove, well, you know, I'm not used to hung.
Yes.
you know, because when I drove by when I drove down Montrose to get to the station this evening, they were setting it up over behind Hubbard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kathy Hubbard's place. So they were setting it up in there. So I spent more time in traffic seeing that there than I spent under it. Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, we didn't spend much time under it.
No.
It was.
Compared to the flattened globe.
Yeah. I didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The mirrored ball and the sesquicentennial chandelier.
Well, the mirror teardrop.
No. I always referred to it as the mirror scrotum.
Oh, my goodness.
That was actually a really good...
And, Bobby, they say I have a wolf mind.
The first year was great. I had no idea that it was an inflatable thing until it lost air.
Like, ooh.
And I was like, what is this? One of Liberace's left over? What?
When Liberace neutered his dog,
he had it mirrored, and there it is.
Oh, well, folks, we were expecting Jack Falinski to stop by, and since it was done so early, he's probably in bed asleep by now.
That's not he had any afterwork stuff, you know. I mean, he was done at what?
10?
Quarter after 9?
Well, at least 9. No, before 10. I'll bet before 10.
Yeah.
I'll bet 9:30.
This is the first time he hasn't had to do with, you know, it's like, I'm at the end of the parade, like, see ya.
Yeah, he got to go to bed at his regular time. Wow.
I was at Hollywood by midnight.
We were entry number 90.
One
out of 108, and we pulled into the driveway at 10:45.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, God. There was some years that the last one didn't cross over till 10:45.
After.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it just flew.
Hey, my little brother just turned on the radio. I wanted to say hi to Scott and Rachel out there listening because y'all couldn't get your ass up here.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, how's it hanging?
Oh, is that Scott from your birthday party?
Yeah, that was Scott.
Oh, hi, Scott. Chris.
Chris really wants to know how it's hanging.
I remember that birthday party.
He was drunk enough, I almost knew.
Yeah. Ooh.
Hey, call in.
713-526-5738.
Call now, because it's one of the few weeks we're not going to give you the phone number and not ask you to pledge.
Yeah.
Were you sweeping him up or down the staircase at that part?
I was trying to sweep him up and down.
Yeah. I was wondering, because it was...
kind of go around the world, too.
Yeah,
you remember that party, don't you?
Yeah, I did. Real well. Well, parts of it.
What, 12 liters of tequila?
I wouldn't know. I don't drink.
Yeah.
I left before they got that far.
So Chris, do you have any insight on whether Steven is really wearing underwear tonight?
From what I saw...
My mother's listening.
And this has mattered...
I don't think he's going to find out, folks.
No.
Oh, but he's trying hard. He is trying hard.
Oh, you don't hang that low.
Wow.
Nice.
Answer the phone, Mary.
Oh, we scared them away.
We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Well, if you keep going, it's going to be hard.
And
Dan wearing loose pants.
And Stephen's parents are now calling the police.
He's old enough.
Yeah, I turned 26 not too long ago.
No
kidding.
I know.
How did that happen?
I know. Don't you remember when I... there's nothing up there.
Well, that comes from the wrong direction. Go to the...
Wait a minute.
Okay, oh, Stephen, that's
don't
a phrase you never want to say on the air.
Don't think he is wearing any underwear, folks.
All right, already. Before you give yourself
Stephen's
a heart attack.
Mom, did you hear that? Your son is running around without underwear.
Oh, I'm sure she so
yet.
Needed to hear that.
I'm sorry to say, I'm up to... Across Christmas. My armpit.
He's up to Christmas, I'll tell you.
I'll just give it up already.
He's about ready to jingle with some balls.
Nope.
There's nothing there, yeah.
They're all deep. I'm moving to Dallas.
I can see why. Why would you want to move to Dallas?
I got a job with Four Seasons Hotels.
Oh, okay. So
that's a little closer than out of the state.
So Vegas was.
Than Vegas.
It's nothing you're doing on your own volition. I mean, who would move to Dallas?
There's a text message my little brother sent. He's not.
Oh! So that is all you there. Wow.
Oh, here, now to make Jimmy really jealous.
Oh. Just let me smell your fingertips, Chris.
I didn't get that close.
Yeah, I moved the 25th next month.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I'll come back in just a
second. I hope so.
Yeah,
hope
better. It took you how long to get there this time?
Yeah, I know.
And like I said, if you would check your emails, you would see that you were warned about this.
Oh?
I don't think I'd be warned about that. I'm wearing tighter pants next time.
I don't see how they could get much tighter.
I got my arm off that leg.
Well,
I got up the ass cheek.
Stop.
It's not as furry as the leg, it's a little mushy.
It's a little mushy. Not as furry as his leg, huh?
No.
He is so red. He is beet red. I've known Stephen many years. I have never seen him this red. And I've seen him red.
Aren't you going to miss this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can.
I'll be able to call in.
Boy, from a safe distance,
he
yes.
He put up quite a struggle, too. I almost believed it.
Yeah, he'll be quite happy to call in from a safe distance.
We were talking
distance.
About the parade and see you get a bunch of guys together and see where it goes.
Yeah,
all the time, gay or straight, doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter.
We were sitting in a little.
We are hall. Dogs.
There's a little cafe that we always eat dinner at. Sherry's there in Santa Fe, and mm-hmm. there was a guy that walked in. Just oh my God, he was hot. He came and sat down on the bar stool, and the one of the waitresses walked by, and I was like. Oh, to be a bar stool. Dad turned around and looked. He was like, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, just the other side of the tree.
You know, I've said this before.
Yeah. I mean, he just picked right up and went.
You know?
Good for your dad.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. Oh, I do like certain members of your family.
You're taking a picture of his pant leg?
Trying to, damn it.
He won't let you. He keeps putting his hand in the way.
He's not his.
Oh, like you could get a picture of a pant leg.
He's not as free as this, Jimmy.
I know.
I believe in the words of Scott Kennedy. I'm big enough to hold you down and do whatever the hell I want to.
No, that's not his words. But we can't say his words on there.
That's a cleaner version.
Oh, hold on. We can go to the proof. I think I got his CD in here.
Oh, my. No. No, we can't play anything that man has said.
Woo-wee!
Yeah.
There we go.
Wasn't that fun?
I need a prize, Jason.
We need some music.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, we do.
All right. Let's go to... Whatever song number 3 was on.
Okay, let's hope it plays the whole thing.
I didn't write down what I was doing. All right, this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
I'm stumbling back in the club. I'm sweaty and kind of dazed. My shirt's untucked and my hair's messed up. But I got a smile on my face. I just did your boyfriend. I just did your boyfriend. I just did your boyfriend.
word to get to know your code and find me. I got a blue ribbon at the science fair. I wasn't cool enough, I wasn't hip enough for your click to share. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I'm playing with dolls, I'm playing with dolls. You got straight A's when I was trying not to fail. You were at the dance, I was home watching Barbara Mendel. The yearbook called you the most likely to succeed. Well, I was sick that day, my photo's nowhere to be seen. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I played with dolls, I played with dolls. So what? I played with dolls, I played with dolls, I played with dolls, I played with dolls. Hey, guess who? You don't remember me. Hey, guess who? You're singing to my song right now. Yes, you all have to thank for this birth. It's true what they say, the meek shall inherit the earth. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls.
Schwester, die anderen Mitglieder der Gruppe, zuerst die Ohren Bänder.
Part of the music you would have heard if you weren't blinking when our float went by in the parade.
Oh my, yes, yes.
Yeah, but we're y'all were riding. I was walking.
No, you were running.
Yes, I was running.
That studio is Judy Reeves.
Hello.
Chair of Gulf Coast Archive and Museum for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History, Inc.
You should have taken a deeper breath.
I know, I should have. I usually do that.
Catch off guard.
And Jade Estrada.
Yes.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine.
It's such a happy experience to be back in Houston every time I do come. And mostly because of you guys.
And we brought you back with no pressure.
Town. You guys show me the town, it's true. If I hadn't come here, I would never know about House of Pies.
See?
Oh, gosh.
I
yes.
would never know about the blueberry pie specifically.
I'm all about details.
You're all about blueberries, I hear.
Yeah, they should stop calling it blueberry pie after and call it the Jade Estefan Estrada pie.
There you go.
They're going to put a plaque up on one of the booths for us.
It'll be like in gold, but eating more pie.
With ice cream, yes.
Exactly.
Octopus.
Jade, of course, is the star of Icons 1, 2, and 3.
That's right.
And
Trans
several. Different one-man plays. Tortilla Heaven.
Tortilla Heaven, Pico de Gallo, gay Christian, gay Muslim, gay Jew.
See?
I'm just doing a lot of stuff. I'm doing a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
To say nothing of your energetic dance and music shows. Yes.
I've been crazy with your CD.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. That I do. I do a lot of stuff.
You do.
I'm a multitasking kind of guy. Yeah, and I do radio interviews at 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
that's right.
Of course.
When he least expects it.
Love it.
Yes, yeah. And you weren't even planning this.
I kind of wasn't. We were talking about it.
Yeah.
We were talking about it. Gallo had their Noche de Gala, black tie event last night, and they invited me, and I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be in the area because you know I had a kind of a, I was trying to relax. I've had a very busy year, so I was like, I think it would be nice to actually have a weekend in June where I didn't do it. I haven't had one in a long time.
Mm.
And then the guys are from Gallo invited me. I said, you know what? That might be an idea. And then Judy says, well, if you're coming over here already, we got this thing going on called Pom Pom,
uh-huh.
which we'll talk about in just a moment, I'm sure. And then And then, of course, House of Pies called, and they wanted to know if I wanted a blueberry pie.
Which day be here?
Perfect timing.
What can you say? And look, I have this blueberry colored flower.
Anyway, for House of Pies, so sure, I said yes to these two wonderful organizations.
Cool.
It was an interesting pride parade, wasn't it?
It was the fastest one. Yes.
What number were you guys?
90.
90.
And you finished up at what? We stepped off at 8:45. Literally, we stepped off at 8:45. And we were done at 9:59 or something. I looked at my clock. I was like, oh, my God. You know, we've done the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was
my
crazy.
My heart still hurts. I haven't caught my breath yet.
Yeah.
You know what's really interesting? I'm going to get deep on you for just a second.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I remember I was during the day, you know, all the other cities in the world have their parade during the day. And I was doing Pride St. Louis about 2 years ago, and I was so hung over from the night before. And they were like, we really want you. Usually when people say, oh, we want you to be in the parade, I'll be like, oh, okay, sure, no worries.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, they won't miss me if I just don't show up or anything. And I find out when I show that they have a whole float just for me.
Oh, no.
And I think, if I had not come, oh, my God, that kind of, you know, that kind
of thing. That was been, yeah.
What I find interesting when you're on a float or you're on a car or whatever, and you're looking, waving to the people, and they're happy, and, you know, they're getting their little beads, and they're getting all... everyone in the audience is at a different place in their diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Some just came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Some have yet to come out. Some have been out for like 90 years.
Don't talk about me.
I didn't see it earlier. But it's interesting. You don't realize that until, I mean, because sometimes there's a lot of people, especially in the media, that think, oh, everything gay is really passe. You know, nobody wants to hear about gay things. The Will and Grace thing just wore us out. But you realize in our work, and the three of us, for the most part, are professional homosexuals.
Yeah.
That there are a lot of people who don't, who for tonight was the biggest night of their lives.
Yes.
And for us, it's like, last year was better, or whatever, you know. We have our opinions about it. But as responsible people in our community, we have to realize that when we go and take part in events like this, that there are some people who are doing it for the first time, and it's important to them.
Yes.
And that's something you realize when you're looking at all these faces, and you're like, what are you so excited about? It's just a float, and I look fabulous. What's different? You know? But there is a big difference, because everybody is having... my grandmother always says, cada cabeza es un mundo. Every head is a completely different universe. So your experience is different from mine, is different from hers.
Sure.
And so that's one of the beautiful things about Pride, is the diversity of not just the genders and sexualities, but generations.
That's true. And you know, I if you saw me, I was all in pink.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have my special Pride Day jeans that I only wear one day a year, and that's in the Pride Parade.
And he called me crying this morning because he couldn't find his rainbow boa. What can you say? I didn't even own one.
I had to go out and buy one. Yeah.
In case of emergency.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been wearing those jeans in every Pride Parade since 1988.
Wow.
So I can say, you know, okay, this one, I can rate them over the years. Because I've been in so many.
The same color jeans or the same jeans?
The same jeans. He won't
answer. The same exact jeans.
They're still nice and tight like they were back in the 80s. I love that.
Thank you. But no, because I've been in so many parades, I can rate one over the other.
Mm.
You know, and this one was faster and, you know. And
yes.
You know, but it was
shorter.
But the weather was fabulous.
I like the weather for this parade.
This has been the best weather that I can ever remember.
I wonder how crazy about running around the festival in the rain.
Well,
but, you know,
you'll get an umbrella.
I didn't have one. I was at the festival. Hello.
I brought one.
Shut up.
I was with Stanley.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
what do you attribute the swiftness of the parade to?
Idiots.
Well, what does that mean? I mean,
the parade people were on the sidelines going, hurry up, run, walk.
It's like, I got an opinion.
Yeah, Albert, I know. You always do, honey. And it gets
us
in trouble.
Come on, tell us.
I think what it was is they've caught in so much crap this past year of people telling them they don't know what they're doing. They want to take the parade out of the Montrose. They want to move it. So everyone's telling them, you guys don't know what you're doing.
They wanted to prove us right.
So they want no. They want to be able to say, look, we got this parade done in 2 hours flat. Mm. You know, the streets were cleaned by the time the parade permit ended. And they were going to say, look at the success we did.
But the parade permit ends at midnight.
Yeah.
It doesn't end at 10:01.
But I think that's what their goal was, is so that they can say, look at what a good job we did. You know, it ran smoothly. There was no big gaps.
The only person who's going to pat them on the back is themselves. They'll break their arms.
Well, I mean, the lady watching the pace and everything was right out there in the middle, making sure that everybody stayed in step and kept up. And when they didn't, she went looking to see why.
Well, you know, that's all well and good, but a lot of people walk.
Yep.
And a lot of people are older.
Thank you.
And they want to be able to actually walk the parade and not have to sprint.
Mm. Yeah, really. Mm. I have to go out my new shoes.
And
tomorrow.
You'd like to be able to interact with the crowd a little bit, too. When you're going that fast, you know, they're just going by you.
And you don't have time to do throws. You don't have time to do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a million people on the sidelines that I knew. They were yelling my name.
I know.
By the time I turned around, I'd lost the truck.
Yeah.
You know, because I was walking beside the truck. Yeah. It's like,
it's all right. The photographers kept interrupting the flow.
That's okay. It works for me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
On the flip side, we can all remember the times that we've sat there in one spot for a long time.
With nothing coming.
Right.
Yes.
And then you're staring at the crowd that you've been staring at for 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in keeping it moving, but I'm also a firm believer in keeping it moving at a pace where people can walk.
Sure.
Our truck was doing 35 miles an hour. We don't do that fast on West Timer on a Friday night, ever.
I did a slower drive down West Timer after the parade, after dropping Jimmy off and coming back around, than I did during the parade.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I gave me an opportunity to see everybody, see where everything was.
But you were talking about keeping the parade in the Montrose, and that brings up something else. I'm looking at red T-shirts here.
My pom-poms are in the car.
Pom-pom on them,
pom-pom.
Which stands for...
People opposed to moving Pride out of Montrose.
Ah.
Da-da-da-da-da. And I was a queer cheerleader tonight.
You are every week.
Well, I know. I don't always cheer, but this week
it was for the Pride Parade.
This week it was for the Pride Parade, yes. Mm-hmm. And Jade was kind enough to come in and ride the pom-pom float. We had big old signs that said, Jade Espanestrada says, keep Pride in Montrose.
That's right.
And
the way that we get to still tell the sign story, we had a sign that had a big, long... poly thingies, and then the sign.
He's a guy.
We didn't. I guess they meant to put it at the end of the truck, mm-hmm. the pickup truck, but there was no way. It was top heavy. There was no way to do it. So we had to put it flush up against the window,
the back,
pickup
back of the cab.
Which, if anybody was behind the sign, you wouldn't see that person until the very last minute, which didn't make a lot of sense. And so, being the former Charlie's Angel that I am,
you go, girl.
I decided to sit on top of the pickup truck, but I realized that if he stopped abruptly...
He could slide like he's skiing.
Yeah.
Or sped up.
Yes.
This would be a whole other show.
Yeah.
And something I didn't sign up for. So, he drove pretty slow until the end when
he forgot he was there.
He forgot I was on, and I'm like, then it was the opening credits of Charlie's Angels.
It was scary. We were all chasing behind him, yelling, stop!
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was interesting, and it felt good to be a part of Pride this year, being with Pom Pom, because Pride is about commemorating the Stonewall riots, and Pom Pom this year is about the history of the LGBT community in Houston,
keeping it intact,
and staying it, and keeping it in the Montrose, which means something more than any commercial event could ever.
I got to step in real quick and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is the post-parade wrap-up. And, you know, we're talking about Stonewall coming up a little later. We will be playing the Stonewall tape that we have here.
Yay.
To remind people of why we march in the middle of the Bar District in the middle of at the beginning of summer.
Works for me. Are you still playing over there?
Steven's next to him. He's not finished
there
crying.
There was like, oh. Ew. Girl here, girl here. Hi, honey.
I have been a gentleman all evening.
I've been the whore.
Honey, I was listening earlier, trust me.
No, I was the whore.
Everything.
Oh, and Jimmy?
He heard yes. Everything.
Apparently, someone over here also doesn't believe in Fruit of the Looms.
Oh?
Nope.
And he's wearing short shorts.
TMI, TMI.
Are people doing in commando case, or something?
Yes.
You shouldn't be surprised when they...
And as soon as you leave, we're going to be doing nude radio.
Oh, is that your idea of open and affirming?
Well, that's a pom-pom.
Well, you know what's really interesting, speaking of change,
mm-hmm.
and the ideas of
ideas
what Pride should be,
have
you been keeping up with what happened this month over in New York's Pride?
No, I haven't.
I found it very interesting that two of the larger cities in the country were having issues mm-hmm. with what they wanted to decide to do. Well, much like Houston, the Pride Fest wanted to be moved from the pier area, Greenwich Village area,
yeah.
and move it to a more commercial area. And what they did is they applied with the city to move it to another... I forget where they wanted to move it.
Mm-hmm.
But the city said, well, in order to do that... you have to apply as if you're an entirely new festival. And they're like, we've been doing this for I don't know how many years. That's
wow.
ridiculous. I mean, it started here for the most part.
Yes.
And they said, well, the answer is you have to apply as if you're of a new festival. And the other answer is no.
Ooh.
You can't move it. And so as an act of defiance, if I'm not mistaken, Heritage of Pride, which is what they're called, decided not to have a Pride event at all if they can't do it. Basically the way they wanted to, and they only had a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first year we've had this kind of experience. I say we, as
yes.
the people of America
sure.
in New York City, because, you know, Stonewall is right down the street,
yeah.
and to not have a Pride Fest is almost blasphemous. But this is the first year. Well, I noticed, Houston, when you told me about pom-pom and the need for pom-pom to be born, and what was going on in New York,
mm-hmm.
these two major cities having these things at the same time, it's a sign of change. And not that we haven't had dissension within the LGBT community before, because
yes.
that's just been going on since Adam and Steve.
Forever, yeah.
But I feel it's the beginning of a lot of changes within the new generation of leaders in our community.
I think you're right.
Because people have... different ideas for what we should be. Some people think we should be more assimilated with the mainstream, which means bringing it to places where the tourists will see it,
mm-hmm.
and families and dogs and puppies, and out of places like the Montrose and Greenwich Village, where other people are more traditionalists and they want to keep it where it's always been, which, you know, I'm in that, aligned with that kind of thinking. But who's right, who's wrong? I mean, that's just interesting.
I don't know. I don't know. But look at the experience from Seattle last year when they took it out of the Capitol Hill area.
That's right.
And they took it downtown, and it was a huge flop. And the Pride Committee up there was, like, in debt over $100,000, and...
Seattle Pride has had a lot of problems in the past.
Yeah.
A lot.
Just look at the Houston International Festival when they took... and moved it from downtown, where people were used to it,
Reliance
where they accept it, and take it down to the Reliance
mm-hmm.
Center.
That
and,
died
that
year.
You know.
Well, we've had our own experience with the West Tarma Art Festival.
Oh, yeah.
When they took the art festival out of the Westheimer, it just became just another festival.
And we've got plenty of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was nothing special about it anymore. It was just another art show somewhere.
I think more than moving the parade downtown, I think that change is imminent and change is necessary, and it's time for that, because a lot of pride has been lost on a lot of people. It's just, it's not the same as it was. Now, it's not going to be the same. It's going to change. But what I mean is the grassroots of pride, which is what it's all about, is gone. There is no pride in pride anymore. It's just another parade. I want to put the pride back in it. I saw fewer commercial floats this year.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, I didn't see a lot of organizations paying $3,000-$5,000 for floats. Yeah, you know, you've got your certain standard ones.
Oh, I didn't see the ICOH float.
I didn't either. We were down the street from it, and I missed it. There were more pickup trucks and small trailers being pulled by organizations, and people trying to walk, people running at top breakneck speed, and so on. And I think that's what it's all about for me.
I get really tired of this
300 floats that all look alike after you get past the second one, and that's that. I'll have to agree, too, that I feel like the Grand Marshals need to be at the front of the parade in convertibles because it sets them apart from everybody else.
Oh, yes.
You put the Grand Marshals on floats and they look like everybody else.
Yeah.
They're special. Treat them special. Mm-hmm. This is their night.
Weren't they in convertibles?
Not all of them. Some of them were on floats.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there was a... I did not see it because I was busy helping put stuff on our float, but I understood that there was a Grand Marshal float.
Oh,
and
I
that's
did,
what
I did not
Maria
know that.
And
Jack were on?
Jack were on. Thank you.
Really?
I'm Jeff. I'm like, where'd that come from?
Yeah. There's a mythical creature behind you.
Yes.
It's a Bobby. It's a Bobby.
Hey, Papa Merlin. Hey. I said this before, and you've probably all read this already, but you used a word that bugs me.
Earlier, when
you were talking about this, you used the word change. And like I said in that letter I wrote, it's not change, it's not progress that bothers me, it's change. Because change is not necessarily progress.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on with that group of people is change.
Well,
it's not progress, it's change. It's like doing it for the sake of dollar signs and the possibility of...
Which is not
exposure
what it was originally
to. I mean, it's not about that.
It's about the people, and the people have been taken
people,
away from the parade.
You know?
I can't pay $150 for a nonprofit
float.
I can't pay $40.
But that's how
or
we feel. I don't know
table.
That the next generation feels the same way.
Well, let me see. The next generation out there walking and building floats in great numbers, as opposed to a few numbers, while people like me who are 57 years old are on the sidelines enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people like us weren't in the parade, there wouldn't be one.
Somebody was talking to me, and they were with the KPFT contingent, that they really wanted it downtown because they felt that would be conducive to having a huge circuit party in Houston.
Oh, joy.
Why should Toronto be the biggest one? Why should, you know, Miami and different cities be known for that and not Houston? And
Toronto lost their Pride Festival, too.
They feel that having a big circuit party here in Houston would put us back on the map,
Bobby,
and bring a lot of money in.
You want a parade? You want a parade or do you want a party?
I understand what you're saying, but
now, somebody let me ask you a question.
But that's how we feel.
Or okay, one night
let me, yeah, and
like,
we're the ones out there playing and fighting and doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't see, the only people I see out there saying, oh yes, let's move the parade, are the Pride people. Okay, you had one individual. That is the only individual I've heard that's really in favor of it.
Well,
see,
this individual's on the Pride Committee.
Okay, bingo. Hello. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, the point is, you move the parade downtown, how are we going to get there? How are we going to get back? How are we going to get to JR's or Mary's before the bars close?
Mm-mm.
I also want to make an observation that, you know, as an outsider, you know, I don't live in the city. When we passed by, when we were like about, 50, 40, 30, 20 feet in front of the people, I could tell that they were reading our signs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this moment of like, I didn't know people were wanting to move
it.
And then they started cheering.
Whoa.
Which of course I thought was for me at first. And then I went, oh, it's for the idea. And so many. And then
what happened at House of Pies?
Before we left, there were people coming up going, where else would they move it? Yeah. Why would it? Like, you're crazy that the idea.
Uh-huh.
And I found it ironic that so many people didn't know about this
issue. Isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, and that goes back to us not having a weekly newspaper in Montrose. Hello, whole new topic. Sorry.
Well, you know, even the Chronicle did cover it back when the first pom-pom meetings were held. The Chronicle did have a thing because my father told me about pom-pom.
Operative Board here's first meetings.
You know what? There may be a reason that there's only one newspaper in regular newspaper in Houston and not a gay newspaper is because people are not reading newspapers anymore.
Amen.
I thought that before you said it, but
yes.
I wasn't going to say
I don't have the Chronicle in my house.
They're not. They get their news either from TV or the internet now.
I don't own a computer.
And you have to purchase the Chronicle in order to get into their, you know, in depth, no. into their website. It's so. Like, I'm not going to pay for the Chronicle so I can get on their website.
You found one of my flowers.
I gave it to him.
I did. I thought it was a blueberry. I went for it. You know, I also want to take this opportunity because, you know, airtime is kind of precious. You know, here we are talking and yapping, and for the most part, you know, some people would say we were complaining.
Why did he look at me when he said that?
No, I was excuse me,
I'm here right home.
I know. I have a bus because, I have a Pride bus pass. I'm okay.
Because Judy Reeves is well known in this community.
I'm the bitch.
Yes.
I just want to take the opportunity to remind anyone who's listening right now, maybe you're washing dishes, maybe you're on the computer not paying attention. If you're young, I really want you to listen to what I'm about to say. You are the future, and if you don't like the way things are done in Houston, in the LGBT community, if you didn't like the way Pride was, you have every opportunity, and there are lots of invitations that maybe you don't hear about because we don't have a weekly newspaper, to take part and have your voice heard, mm-hmm. because we need these new generation. I mean, if you see something and you didn't vote for it, it's because you didn't show up. You know,
yep,
so
sure.
I'm telling people, you know, whether it be coming here to the radio station and volunteering or being a part of the Pride Parade or doing these, you know, GCAM.
Mm-hmm.
Always needs a good volunteer if you're into gay history. I mean, that's how we met.
Exactly.
But I just think that a lot of people don't know that they're needed.
You're needed.
That may be.
You're needed. You are needed.
You are so needed.
And whoever you are out there in Houston or in the surrounding areas, you know that there's a place where your money, your voice, your time can really be put to good use, especially if you don't like the way things are going in this country.
You know where I independently got my start in this community? Listening to KPFT.
Did you?
Yeah. It was my first and last act. Jimmy can attest to this. My first and last act of defiance against my one-decade-old relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I called in to KPFT. I was sitting in the dining room under the table in the dark. People, I was 37 years old. It's not like, you know, I was a kid.
There's nothing wrong with late bloomers.
Well, I was not a late bloomer. I had worked forever in the community, but what I had done is I was her follower. Mm-hmm. It was anything she wanted to work on, we worked on. And that was fine and good, except all of a sudden it was like, this doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And I called in KPFT. They had their week, their mm-hmm. marathon going, and I called in and I pledged money. And it was like, you know, when it comes in on the American Express bill, she is so going to kill me. And I didn't care. But that's where I got my start, was with KPFT.
So did Stephen, sitting right next to us.
But he's such a sweet little boy.
Stephen is 26.
He's not involved with it.
He has been.
Relationship.
Oh, God, not for 10 years. I could be his mother, but no.
He got involved through Hatch, the teen group. And,
I want to be your Hatch thing.
He is our future.
Mm-hmm.
He has Absolutely. Been our future.
I'm glad he's still here.
And he's a guy who has been involved. Of course, we're going to lose him. He's his job is taking him to Dallas.
God, you grow him up and they go away.
Dallas needs you. Dallas
Big
needs
time.
You.
Yeah, they're a bigger mess than we are. He's going to interrupt us again. I can tell.
Uh-oh. He's
got that pretty voice sitting back
but
there.
But, Stephen, you are still part of youth.
PFLAG.
But you work with PFLAG.
Community
but,
Center. And, yeah.
But how do you get contemporaries involved?
I don't know. That's the hard part. A lot of them, and even going back to dating, mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the clubs. And I'm older, I'm getting out of that club stage, so I don't want to get into that. So, I mean, a lot of times, if you want the history and the people volunteering and stuff, you have to go to the clubs to get them. But they don't want to get out of the club, so it's really until they get out of that stage, and some people never grow out of it.
Yes, it's
but
true.
But it's when they get into the 30s and stuff, and they really start seeing that they need to get back to the community.
But then they're brain dead.
Right.
Or liver dead.
They,
I'm so sorry, that's
really
the history
hard.
Of our history.
It is really hard to get it. And there's so many young people that have no idea about the history of Houston, much less the history of the GLBT in general.
Yeah. There are so many Pride committee members who don't know that.
Yeah.
I know, because they tell me that.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we bow to Mary's every... I mean,
exactly.
There's a lot of people that couldn't even begin to tell you why.
That's right.
And I think that's awesome that Jimmy bows every time he passes.
I do, actually.
Just keep bowing. He doesn't get on his knees anymore.
Not just that one day a year. I mean, because it's been a haven. It's.
Do you know this is the first time in years I did not walk into Mary's today?
People all over the country, when you say Houston, they say Mary's. I mean, they know us from that one bar.
And they took our beer away, too.
A lot of things have happened in that club. A lot of history.
And did you see the sign over Mary's today? Thank you very much.
A hell of a lot of stuff has gone on in that bar.
That was a fabulous sign. Yes.
Did you just call it a club?
Excuse me?
It's a bar.
It is a club.
But it has been a club. And
the people buried in the back.
Technically, I think the proper term is dive.
It's
a bar, and those of us who go to it belong to a very special club.
It has been a refuge for a lot of people.
In our history, our clubs and bars.
Yes.
And you can't understand where you're going unless you know where you've been. And that is a part of our history here in Texas.
In the early days of the AIDS epidemic, when funeral homes wouldn't take people, and we started being
they
instead of buried,
cremated.
There are a lot of cremains in the backyard of Mary's.
Why do you think the rose bushes grow 37 feet
if
high?
If you go into the very back of Mary's, the very back. Every bush,
beyond the lights,
every tree is someone.
We really keep talking about if they
That's
sell
beautiful.
Mary's, which comes up periodically, you know, it's like they'll never be able to demolish a place and dig it up and build, because they will come up with remains with the first shovel full of dirt. They'll come up with bones, and that'll put a stop to everything, and they will have to dig out there for years to uncover the bodies.
That makes it
unbelievable.
Like a temple.
People were going over fences to bury people.
Yeah.
Well, I won't speak for everybody, but I respect it.
I'm saying cremains,
there were bones out there. There were bodies out there, too. There are people.
I'm all of a sudden imagining a queer version of Poltergeist.
God.
No.
Go into
Carolyn! Can I change the subject for a minute? Because I love to brag and change the subject.
Are you going to brag about Jade?
No, but I could, because it's so beautiful.
Because she has stuff to brag about.
She's going
to
brag about herself.
What?
No, actually, I didn't do it. One of the founding members of GCAM, you know, that's the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History. And I love Jade. Have you ever noticed how he always says LGBT, and he refers to Houston as us and we.
Mm-hmm.
He never says y'all.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. Anyway.
Well, I'm Texan.
That's right. But you say us when you talk about Houston. So anyway, GCAM has now in its possession, it has gone in and scanned all of the pictures on both of the bars at Mary's. So if anything, God forbid, ever happened to Mary's, we would at least have that preserved. And we're in the process of trying to kind of recoup. I mean, so they're like, some of them are like a big mess, but we're trying to like...
What she's referring to is the top of the bar, the inside bar and the outside bar at Mary's, is covered in photos from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Days of yore.
Yes. And GCAM has scanned both bars entirely. And I know Bruce is working on a program that cleans them up because they've kind of yellowed over the years and revived the colors. And they are being put on the GCAM website. So, we already, GCAM does have the rights to the bar tops if Mary's ever folds.
Yes, we've had that for years.
But in case, there's a fire or something, you know, horrible like that.
A gay bar going up in flames in the Montrose.
The hell you say?
Imagine that.
That wouldn't happen.
That has already been retained.
Yes.
And so we have that history.
Yes. Now, this is another... message to the people of Houston. If you love history, GCAM.org needs volunteers to file and organize all these things.
And
so
money.
Please, and money,
and
of
money,
course.
Of course.
But time is just as valuable. So, like, you know, there's all these pictures that need to be organized. There are things that need to be dusted, I know, I'm sure. You know, so if you have if you have one day or a week or something, or you're just interested in because you're curious, history is really interesting, especially your own history in your city. GCAM.org. Hit us up online, and we will
find something for you to do that I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun doing.
Oh, yes.
Well, right now in my living room, and I shouldn't say in my living room, but that's exactly where I'm doing it right now, I have about 30,000 pictures. I don't mean...
Photographs.
Photographs, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That comes in the form of, like, 26 boxes. And I'm going to pick up 8 more next week.
Yes.
Because Dalton DeHart... Who we love and adore, has turned over all of those pictures mm-hmm. to GCAM for safekeeping. And I will be so gone. In fact, darling, I love you. You're, what, 29, 26?
26.
You'll be gone from this earth before we can get them all scanned in.
I can't even believe he's 26.
But I know he's so beautiful.
I mean, it seems like yesterday he was 19.
I was growing up. You know, I was here when he was just a kid.
Yeah, I saw
but,
yes.
You know, getting them all scanned in is one thing. But it takes immeasurable time just to get them cataloged into the computer.
Yeah. Actually, that's what I was thinking about when I was reaching out to Houston to say that because of these new things. And thank you, Dalton, because...
He's
just chronicled so much of LGBT life here.
Oh my God! Yes, he's been doing
in
it
in our Houston.
Yes,
yes.
And the show is all about reaching out to youth.
It is
exactly.
It is. I got that.
Help me!
I'll explain that to you when you're older, Judy.
Yeah, right.
David, I need more coffee. Much more coffee.
I think somebody's had too much.
He's right behind you.
The Starbucks had way too much coffee tonight.
As long as I don't make the coffee, right? God, you remember that that espresso I made?
And he's a chef.
I thought, well, he makes espresso.
Oh, my God, we're going to have the greatest coffee on earth.
Ron, do you have a knife and fork?
I needed it.
Oh, well. What can you say?
I find that fascinating when people actually go and take the time to learn the skill and science of cooking.
Oh.
That's actually what I want my PhD in.
I can't even boil an egg.
Oh, Lord.
I do a lot of other things. But that is one thing.
Boil it, steam it, poach it.
That's why he eats M&M's and ice cream at our place.
Okay. He has brought some of his creations up here.
See, that's beautiful. I'll eat it. But, I mean, I would sit in front of the stove for hours and just be like, scratch, scratch, scratch. I'm not very good at it. I find
either.
That amazing. That and playing the piano.
When
I see someone cooking or playing the piano, I'm just like,
oh,
that
yes.
is so beautiful.
I am so amazed. You know,
I'm
on
the 500 right now.
I just did. I moved on. Yeah.
That's okay. I like what you do. It's okay. You don't have to change a thing for me.
Right. So when are we going to see Jade on the stage again?
Well, we have a tentative plan to
go
in October.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I should be coming back from... I'm going to Seoul for a little while.
Really?
Seoul, Korea.
Well, how nice.
Yeah. There's a big Broadway show called Queen of Shopping. And
Jimmy's kind of show. Oh, my God.
And it's...
It's the story of my life.
It's actually... You might want to hold back on saying that before I give you a quick synopsis. It's about a woman
mm-hmm.
who lives in this very fashionable world, Prada and all these things, and she shops and she buys things that are beyond her means. And so she
well,
gets
that's
herself.
Still,
it's a story
that's
of Jimmy's
story
life,
of my life.
Except he's not a woman yet.
Yeah.
Right, not yet.
No.
But we're just waiting for that next check.
Yeah. Not yet a woman, but still not a girl.
So they asked me to, they'd been wooing me for a while, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go to Seoul, but it looks like we're almost we're like 90% there with negotiations.
And what do you're obviously not going to play the woman.
No, I'm going to be directing.
Directing. Oh.
Yeah, which is something I hadn't done in a while. As you know, I used to be choreographer for Charo.
Yes.
Uchi-Kuchi.
Yes.
So it's actually, I think, because of that they wanted me, because I've got that Atlantic City, Las Vegas, Reno
mm-hmm.
thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me, you know, well, basically, in a nutshell, what would you do if you came to do this? And I said, well, that's easy. You just bring in the strobe lights, you do this, and you have spinning disco balls, and you have Cirque du Soleil girls, and then the lead dancer comes up on a hydraulic. Any questions? And they're like,
yes,
we love it.
Of course.
What else would you do?
And for the second act.
Well, you know, that whole area, Korea and Singapore and Thailand and all of that area, big Broadway-type shows are really the thing. I mean, everybody in the country.
This romantic one for Arkansas.
America.
Yes,
I love it. When I was doing Starlight Express in Germany, I didn't realize that musical theater is an American commodity. And they're just now getting into, like, Cats and Phantom,
mm-hmm.
Putting musical comedy and opera and a rock concert all together is really something that we made up. And so they're getting a hold of that. And of course the Asians,
I love the way the Asians put things together. I mean, I read the script. The translations are pretty basic. and I'm like, you might want to hire, you know, an American to help you out mm-hmm. with this. And they plan to do that. But, yeah, they get things a little late. But when they do it with all the reverence that they have to our culture.
Yes.
Artistic culture, you know, Broadway and Hollywood.
But, I mean, everybody likes it.
They love it.
From children to grandparents, love that type of thing.
When I was doing Starlight Express, every day that I'd come out, even on Tuesday night shows, I'd walk out and was mobbed by these German fans.
Amazing.
That they knew everything about me. They knew my birthday. They knew my sign. They knew...
Oh, goodness.
That I, once they said, who's your favorite superhero? And I was like... Spider-Man, and they would bring me these Spider-Man dolls and ceramics and everything. I was just like,
oh my goodness.
Yes.
Next time.
But they do treat you like rock stars
mm-hmm.
and in the musical theater
not
genre,
like
which is kind of interesting.
Not like America.
Interesting, but I'm looking forward to that.
For Houston specifically.
Yes, really.
You guys have...
Montrose specifically.
Did I make this up, you guys? Is Jennifer Love Hewitt in Sweet Charity on tour right now?
Really?
I thought I saw that poster outside.
You may have.
You don't look at the bulletin board.
You don't look at the bulletin board anymore.
Not tonight.
Well, Christina Applegate did it on mm-hmm. Broadway, which floored me. I couldn't speak for a week when I saw that. My jaw just went. I was like, this is that Bundy girl.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I got to tell you something. I got a lot of respect for her now. And Jennifer Love Hewitt, she comes from theater and these kinds of things. So I know she can pull something like that off. But I love touring. Replacing a star in a touring Broadway show is usually a really... It's a good check. It's a good check for people who have been out of the limelight for a long while,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really cool. Do you take in the theater that comes down on tour?
Not often enough.
Mm.
Not often enough.
Mm. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's like... Oh.
I guess I really do deserve to live in Houston. I love the city of Houston, but we are just lousy when it comes to live theater and live musical acts.
Well, we passed the Houston Ballet today, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That fascinated me. I was like, oh my God, I want to go see them rehearse.
But, you know, Houstonians do not support live...
Really?
Live entertainment.
Really?
No.
Well, let's say, I mean, let's be realistic here, too. I mean, if you go down to...
And I'm not just talking about the gay community.
No, if you go down to the center down there, I can't ever think of the name of the place.
Hobby Center.
Hobby Center. You know, if you want to see a play, that's all well and good. If you want season tickets, nosebleed, and I'm talking third balcony up and behind, it's like $350. Who can afford it?
Well, for that, yes.
For
but
five plays.
Still, even...
I mean, theater...
But where can you find cheap theater, though?
Theater Suburbia, fool.
I was trying to give you the segue.
I know you were. You're so good, because I'm getting ready to go into rehearsals. Yes.
You should try rehearsals
more. Next month.
Holding auditions?
We'll be holding auditions, yes, next month.
I have a trick. For those of you that travel
you
to New York.
You always have a trick. I have
do.
To go hide my eyes.
That kind of trick.
I'm sorry.
But like a little thing for those of you that travel to New York.
Yes.
When I was young and eating ramen noodles and I'd just gone to New York and I was in school, I couldn't afford anything. Some of the older kids who were graduating from my school, I went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, told me the Broadway second acting trick. And what you did is, in Broadway, you go see the show. During intermission, everybody comes out to smoke a cigarette, and then they go back in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you did is you got a playbill, because all the playbills are the same book, except for the inside part.
Yeah.
So the ads are the same. You fold it up, and you walk very casually during intermission, enjoying everybody smoking, and you walk in, and you find a seat, and you watch the second act.
Oh.
I must have seen Phantom of the Opera like 13 times and never saw the first act. And Aspects of Love was my favorite one, but that's what you did. And sometimes you got busted. They're like, excuse me, that's my seat. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. And the usher would be like, is there a problem? This is my big line. I love doing this. I'm sorry for those of you who wear glasses and I disrespect you. But I'd be like, I'm sorry. So I had to take my contacts out. I was sitting up there. I just wanted to see if I could get a closer seat. Do you mind? And usually they go, oh, no, not at all. Can you see here? I'll be like, yeah, I can see here. Thank you.
So
his nose is going
to
grow.
Stop talking to me.
You are so good.
Well, you know what? When you're in the business, it's your job when you're young to be around great work.
Sure it is.
Work.
And you can't afford it.
And you can't afford it. It's just you can't. But if you really want to be influenced by the great
artists of your time, you'll find a way to get near them. And it was great.
Well, see, I need to be influenced by the great artists of my time, so I need to go to Seoul with him and watch him direct so that I can figure out what to do at
I'm
Suburbia.
I'm a good director.
Well, I have no doubt that you're a good director.
You know why I know I'm a good director?
See,
you know why I know I'm a good director? Is because nothing relaxes me more and makes me feel more creative than doing that kind of work.
Amen.
Nothing. I have no doubt that what I'm doing is nurturing to the actors and creative. I mean, I'm sure I could be more creative. We all can. But in the moment that I'm doing it, nothing makes me happier.
The highlight of my directing is like, I have this one actress that's like always comes back, when are you going to do something? When are you going to do something? But one of the plays that I did, we brought the playwright came down from Ohio to see it, and it made her. We made her cry in the second act.
That was the highlight.
Okay, I did good on this one.
We have two directors talking here now. I love this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we should be talking about pom-pom.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to talk about when we come here.
That's what
makes the LGBT so wonderful is that we are full of artistic people, you know, and.
After running that marathon tonight, I felt kind of awesome.
I love that.
Yes, down go.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Do we have Chariots of Fire in the library?
Stop.
Probably.
But I bet you have some more music from that CD you made.
Yeah.
Oh, is this a CD from the parade that you didn't get to use all of?
Yes.
Yes.
I heard you say that.
Yes.
See, we were listening.
We'd like to hear more.
I love that opening. I love the opening.
I love to be queer.
About some people will find this offensive.
Oh,
I thought that was clever. I was writing it down.
He wrote that.
Did you get to hear the squeaky bed in the background?
No, we don't do that one anymore.
I know. We used to do the squeaky bed in the background.
That's now it's loud music.
I love squeaky beds in Houston.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the one where you're, new. You're giving squeak.
You know,
I'm
the
so
disclaimer,
sorry.
You know, yeah, it was kind right. of that. Mm.
Right, right.
Yeah, that worked. So you've got some music to go?
Yeah, like I said, I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, Jade, Judy, thank you for being with us.
I guess we've been dismissed.
That's usually how they're dismissed. We have like, okay, goodbye. Okay.
We're through now. Okay.
Thank you. We love you. Bye bye. Click.
Awesome. Okay. But happy Pride to everybody in Houston.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be here. I hope you guys had a great time, and we'll see you next year
in Montrose.
In Montrose.
Well, yes. If this will make you feel better, we'll do it this way. I'll bring up the music softly in the background.
Oh, get it,
girl. That is more approachable.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's music. Okay.
We love you. She doesn't like music.
This is I Know What Boys Like done by boys.
What is that?
This is KPFT Houston. I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I see them looking. I make them want me. I like to tease them. They want to touch me. You're special, I might let you. You're so much.
between sexes. No small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men. Well, I believe in my soul that inside every man there's a feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice loud and clear. Well, a cowboy may brag about things that he does with his women, but the ones who brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. What did you think those saddles and boots was about? There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. Inside every cowboy there's a lady who'd love to slip out. Well, 10 men for each woman was the rule way back when on the prairie. And somehow those cowboys must have kept themselves warm late at night. Well, cowboys are famous for getting riled up about fairies. But I'll tell you the reason a big strong man gets so uptight. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. That's why they wear leather and Levi's with belts buckled tight. There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. There's many a cowboy who's more like a lady at night. Well, there's always somebody who says what the others just whisper. And mostly that someone's the first one to get shot down dead. When you talk to a cowboy, don't treat him like he was a sister. Don't mess with a lady that's sleeping in each cowboy's head. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. Even though they take speed and drive pickups and shoot their big guns. There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. There's many a cowboy who keeps quiet about things he's done.
Revolution, love revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
Come on,
revolution, love revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
I got one chance here to have a clean slate, and I don't give a fuck if you are gay or straight. Music of the people, that's what I'm told. Been driven by the music since 5 years old. This hand I'm dealt in the no limit holder. On the day of my birth, though I knew I was the chosen one to educate these misdirected minds, brainwashed by the church and the law at the same time. I grew up a Midwest Catholic boy. By age 18, I was done with that noise and all the pollution they were feeding my head. I knew when I was a kid I already liked men, but I went through that shit, had to bite my lip. Wanna hear the boy say, yo, he looks like a faggot. Man, you gotta tell me what's a faggot supposed to look like or sound like. You want me sucking dick when I'm on the mic?
Revolution, love revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, love revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, love revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, love revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
We came to take the power from the people who have it. Big nuggets in the house, weigh it up in the baggie. Give it to the kids at your local college. We came to spread the love and we came to bring knowledge to anyone that don't believe what we do is real or what we do is wrong, cause we're proud that we're queer. I got some shit to say and I'm not holding back. making the foundation for gay hip-hop on the map. You better listen up to the things that we're doing. We're doing big things, cause we're steady moving units. I'm vibing off my bands while I'm writing lyrics to this. The new breed of hip-hop we make for the people, who only want love and for us to be equal. This is the first chapter, yo, wait for the sequel. I have a big mouth, you know I'm gonna use it. Whoever thought a faggot with a mic would be a nuisance.
Revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
You wanna talk about rights? Well, it's really confusing. The same people making laws are the ones who abuse it. The positions they're in for the money and the wealth, while the gay rights agenda just sits on the shelf like it don't mean shit. And you wonder why we're pissed, and every time we rise up you wish that we were lynched. This is the revolution that's been building for years, collecting due interest on our blood, sweat and tears. You ain't gonna stop this cause it's way too late. Too many people out there who still feel ashamed that they are gay, so they hide it and deny it, hating themselves for the simple fact they tried it. But in this revolution there's no giving up. We only want peace and we only want love. You better get used to this cause we ain't going nowhere. Man, I get off when all you homophobes stop and stare.
Revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
Big Nug with La Revolution. Shoot, I forgot to write some songs before that. Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't really been telling you what we've been playing anyway. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
Hello.
And my name is Chris Harrison. I'll be joined here momentarily by our very special guest. And Jimmy, if he ever gets out of the back patio, there comes the parade. Here comes the second fastest parade in Montrose tonight as they rush in from the back door. I was watching the second fastest parade in the Montrose on the monitors there as you as you get down sucking the fag. And there we go.
I thought he had deserted us. But the male Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade, 2007 Pride Parade, is here with us, Mr. Jack Valinsky.
Well, I was absolutely honored to be Grand Marshal, and you've had this experience.
Oh.
But to be on the Grand Marshal's float, and, you know, I had a different... You know, what's interesting about Houston is that you drive a car, you walk, or you take a bicycle, mm-hmm. you have a completely different perspective.
Yes.
Well, the same thing with the Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for so many years, I was very happy being, you know, the person who put the parade together or helped put the parade together or whatever. But this year, I was honored by being a Grand Marshal.
And the only reason that it was this year is because in all the other past years, you have declined the nomination.
Right, because it would have been a conflict of interest.
Well, as you saw it, but
yes.
most people, you know, thought that...
Right, if I was part of Pride...
all people who deserved to be the Grand Marshal, it was you.
Well, and so... Being on the float, mm-hmm. I was amazed at seeing all the young people.
Yes.
And, I mean, like, you know, 12, and I'm not a very good judge at age, but 12, 14, whatever. And what was really interesting is we got to the Grand Marshal stand.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Muse came out and handed me this plaque. And it was basically a plaque with a whistle in it of you know, and the parade chair this year basically arranged this. And, you know, I'm privy to a lot of emails and gossip that goes on in the community. I had no concept or no idea.
Wow.
And so the float stopped, and he hands me this thing, and he says, you know, this is for all the past 25 years of everything you've done to make this parade a success. And, you know, this isn't about me. This is about community. And... this past year, I sort of had the privilege of helping the Washington Avenue people put together a parade.
Yes, yes. Well, you have all this experience
well,
in doing such.
And but it's always a learning lesson. I mean, every day you learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why the Washington Avenue people wanted to do a parade was to bring the community together.
Yes.
Well, here in Houston, we have this problem because we're so spread out. We're a southern city. People get in their car and drive across the street to go from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
But the one time of the year that our community gets together is a Pride Parade.
Sure.
And I was in 1995 when we thought that we needed to do something about our afternoon Sunday parade, and we put together a task force, and we sort of came to the conclusion that we needed to do the night parade, which we started in 97.
Yes.
Which really
as I well remember.
Yes, as we sort of put this parade on the map for New York and San Francisco and all these other cities that did such great things, and Houston finally came of age that time. Well, now there's this talk about moving the parade downtown.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, there's some merit to this thing, and we need to seem to talk about it and figure out what works. But there's a number of things that I didn't realize. One of the things is that I've never been able to figure out how all those people get to be in the, you know, to watch the parade, to be in the audience, like in the last hour. You know, the streets are sort of vacant like an hour before the parade.
And then all of a sudden.
And then all of a sudden these people are here.
Yes.
Well, one of the reasons is because even though a lot of these people may live out in Spring Branch or Dallas or one of the other suburbs, that they have friends that live in Montrose.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in and they party or they have dinner or whatever in their friend's house, and then they go out to see the parade. Or they go to the bars.
Yep.
Or they go to a business.
Yes.
Or maybe they're a KPFT person.
Yeah.
And, you know, a programmer, and they come here and then they go to line up the parade. We wouldn't have that advantage downtown.
No, you're right.
Because, you know, yes, maybe downtown we got better parking. I never know how all these people park in the Montrose to see the parade. I mean, that's a mystery to me.
Oh, it's a crapshoot every
year,
honey.
Yes, but it's amazing that it all works. And, you know, seeing all these people in the parade, it's just like, how could we move it? You know, how could we move something? And the merit about moving the parade downtown is that the festival can't grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know what that answer is. But, you know, we've got this parade that's very unique, that's very successful, that runs very well. And even though I wasn't part of it this year, Craig Saar, who was the parade chair this year, did everything he could to make it work. There were some gaps, we know that, but you know, he basically was thrown into this position in the past 6 weeks, and he did a great job.
Yeah.
And it was a different perspective since this was like an easy year for me because I didn't do it. And I was part of the Houston Equal Rights Alliance, who was like signing up people to put in our database to get them out and vote. And that job was pretty much over with before the parade started. And, of course, we have the rain this year.
Yeah.
And,
but, you know, we could have a Pride Festival at George R. Brown and still have a parade in Montrose.
Not really.
Why not?
Because the momentum is you bring everybody to one location for a parade and festival.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to say, we're going to have the parade in Montrose and have this at George R. Brown.
I don't know that's the reality, because I go to the festival every year, but I'm also in the parade. So I go to the festival, then I have to go home and change into parade, and then, you know,
But you look at Empower, Empower's gone.
That's true.
Yes.
But Empower was not a festival.
Well, it's true. That is true. And, you know, not to say that I have, you know, one of the things about being part of Pride for all these years is I didn't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
The answers came from the community.
But you know, if you have it at someplace like George R. Brown, then it doesn't, the rain that wouldn't
well, that's
keep people
true.
Away.
Yes, but be able to mobilize 100,000 people to move from George R. Brown to go watch the parade.
Well, that's true.
I don't know if that would work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in New York, you'd catch a subway to go from one place to another.
Sure.
In Houston, I mean, the bus system works, and it's very good, and it's very clean, it's very efficient for a spread-out city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think all these, you know, people would do that. But anyway, I was very proud to be part of the Grand Marshal, along with Maria Gonzalez.
Yes.
And Garnett Coleman and ICOH, although they were on a different float.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to see that float.
I didn't get to see much of it either.
No.
You know? And then after I got off the float, the Grand Marshal was the beginning, then I sort of walked down and saw a lot of other things that I probably wouldn't see. It is... Go ahead.
No. Finish your thought.
Well, but getting back to that, to watch the parade from afloat, and they didn't care about us. They cared about the beads. but the kids were there, you know. And the mission of the Pride for all these years was commemorate, educate, and celebrate.
Yes.
And you know, as we are the older generation, and we're going to start to fade out.
Oh, yes.
The importance is that the younger generation sees the importance to this, that we still don't have our rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how lucky we are to be able to have this programming on KPFT where they don't censor us.
Yes.
But it seemed, though, that there wasn't the publicity this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't see anything in the Chronicle today. I didn't see any TV cameras except for the Ray Hill CBC documentary, people following him around, which is just, you know, typical Ray Hill.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the word got out to the rest of the community, but people were there.
Yeah.
You know? And it was also interesting that as you start around the parade route, it doesn't look like it's that big of an audience out there, but as you go around that curve, it's just incredible.
Tremendous? I've been telling you all these years, Jim,
and I know that
excitement.
Yes,
about,
yes.
When you turn that corner, and all of these thousands.
And to me, that wasn't the thing that we were doing it for. It was for you know, all the people that were in the parade. That was great, and the chandelier was back.
Yes,
and that was
and better
Craig,
than ever.
Yes. Yes, to watch that chandelier as you went under it.
Yes.
It was an amazing thing. You know, it was a different perspective.
Yeah. And it may have changed your mind about a couple of things.
Well,
from that,
and you know, any organization always has to look at the future, because if you always stick to what you were doing, it won't work. You got to like look at what's the next generation looking for. You try not to lose that history and that perspective, but at the same time, that may not be relative to the next generation.
Sure.
So I commend any organization that is looking towards that. It's like the community center. I mean, Houston deserves a better community center.
Absolutely.
Know, and then I think everybody on the community center board realizes that.
And I think the city should be picking up part of the tab for that,
well,
like they do in other cities.
Yeah, maybe.
Because of the services that it provides.
Yes.
That the city doesn't have to.
And so the Pride, you know, and now that I'm not part of Pride, Pride is the only thing that really brings a community together in such masses.
Yes.
And, you know, the generation is changing, that they don't go out to the bars as much. Mm-hmm. They got the internet to do whatever they want to do. The community center can't serve all the community. It's once a year we have this Pride celebration where you got 100,000 or 200,000, whatever that number is, they come in. And it's not just GLBT people.
No, that's
lots of different communities.
Because people remember this parade, they have fun, they enjoy it, they want to come back every year, and they ask about it.
And the other thing about the possible changes was to move it to a different type of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the heat. Well, it was an incredibly comfortable parade this year.
I can't remember a parade that had better weather than the one
and,
tonight.
And so... Yes, it does get hot in June, but, you know, we have this incredibly big celebration on the 4th of July, and it's hotter than the 4th of July.
That's right. You wouldn't think of doing 4th of July at another time of year.
So, you know, that's something that the Pride Committee of Houston, or Pride Houston, is going to have to decide.
Yeah.
But then there's also talk about the fact that they may not have the resources, money-wise, to be able to do anything different. They have two full-time employees, and apparently the corporate sponsorships wasn't quite what it used to be.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly where it all stands, and when that decision is going to be made, but I got to tell you that it was an incredible experience seeing that parade from a different perspective than I saw, and seeing all the different groups, you know.
You saw the excitement.
Yes, yes. Well, and yes, because I wasn't like watching the, you know, what comes next.
Right.
I was watching the parade, and I had an incredible advantage of seeing it from the start to the end.
And what it means to people.
Yes, exactly. What it means to people.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's not just the young people, it's a spectrum of people.
Yes.
And it's not just GLBT people, it's a spectrum of people. And, I mean, I had one of the city, people who's like in charge of this, these special events, what goes on, and just like, you know, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. The diversity of, you know, Houston's a very unique city that we don't have zoning. Yeah. So you will have a, you know, a mansion next to a, you know, sort of a slum complex, yes, and stuff like that.
Sure.
And that's a mixture of people that you don't see in a lot of other cities. Well, Pride sort of does that too, that there's a real mixture of people. There's young, there's old, yes, there's pretty boys, there's, you know, there's the lesbians, there's the GLB, you know, there's, mm-hmm, the transgender community, oh, yes, that a lot of other communities doesn't have. And, you know, I have, in my term at Pride, was that we never excluded anybody as long as they followed the rules, you, mm-hmm, know, that we had the you know, the transgendered community, the drag queens, the leather, you, yes, know, whatever that's part of it, and that somehow over the years, the mainstream media just like, well, you know, we're not going to just focus on one group. We're going to focus on the parade in general, that it's this spectrum.
Yes.
And it's a really, really, you know, neat thing that we are able to been able to do in this community for the community. You know, I think that's one of the lessons, is that Pride doesn't belong to Pride Houston. It belongs to the community.
Yes, that's exactly right. Because it is about the community. It's not about one small group. Or one big group, as the case may be. It's about the whole community, and everyone must be included, and everybody's thoughts on it must be included.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think we're just very lucky to have that entity in this community. Whether I'm part of it or not part of it, that it's still going on, that the younger generation sees the need for this.
Yes.
And, you know, it's really interesting, the book on Stonewall that was written by David Carter,
mm-hmm,
that I interviewed on Queer Voices, that this guy spent 10 years studying what it is. And you know, Stonewall is just one thing that happened. It was sort of a flashpoint. But in 69 when it happened, a year later, there was commemorations or protest or whatever in like four or five different cities,
yes,
in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Boston, New York, that has been picked up around the world by different organizations.
Yes.
You know,
and yes, and when I hear about different countries, European countries, South American countries celebrating Pride.
Russia.
At the same time that we do, it just floors me.
Absolutely.
Because that high heel was really the high heel heard around the world.
And as we know, it wasn't the people in the suits. It wasn't the people that were sort of trying to mainstream work with the Democrat or Republican Party. It was the people that were just peeled at the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, and every once in a while, I think you have to have a revolution. Certainly it's happened here at Pacifica.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it has.
Time,
you know?
And time again, yes.
And, you know, to stir up things and say, this isn't working, this doesn't work for me, we've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And we have made incredible progress in this country. We have the bland TV shows like Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have corporations that have diversity and or domestic partnership benefits. A lot of our oil companies here in Houston that we never, never expected. Pride had their kickoff party at the Museum of Natural Science.
Mm-hmm.
They had their wine tasting at the Houston Club in the George Bush Room. And, you know, that has happened. And, you know, the Gay Men's Chorus has their concert in a mainstream.
Yes.
You know.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing that we've made this. Yet, you know, the battles aren't over with.
No.
People can still get fired, you know,
yeah,
for being GLBT. We have made some real strides here in Houston that the transgendered community and the gay community and lesbian community work together.
Mm-hmm. Unlike many other cities.
And like, yes. We've made this thing that we have two elected officials from our community, elected citywide, that are, you know, doing great jobs. And, you know, I mean, there's a hope that in 2009 that East Park will run for mayor.
Yes, I'm certainly hoping it.
And you were at KPFT Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That we really are lucky in this city, but we can't stop.
Yeah, you're right. We have to. We have to keep going. And the show has to keep going.
Yes.
I know that.
I just walked in, and I appreciate, you know.
We were talking about Stonewall, and every year we play. You probably remember the old half hour tape done about 15 years ago.
Yes.
And we Chris has got put it on CD, so it will last forever, and we get to play it every year, and tonight's the night. Chris?
Was that my cue?
That's your cue,
honey. That means I need to be listening.
Jack, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the air.
You bet. Anytime you want to come on this show, you're welcome.
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
Today, this white two-story building across from Sheridan Square in Greenwich Village is a clothing store and a closed Chinese restaurant. 20 years ago, this was the Stonewall Inn. I'm Michael Shirker, and I'm working on the first comprehensive history of the Stonewall riots. In 1969, the Stonewall was one of the most popular gay bars in New York City, and, like all other gay bars, was routinely raided by the Vice Squad. The patrons of these bars, many of whom were frightened at having their identities revealed, would quietly submit to any orders coming from the police. Yet, on June 27th, 1969, that all changed. The patrons of this bar, with the drag queens at the forefront, decided to fight back against the police. What happened here on that night would spark a revolution.
I am Gene Harwood, and my age is 80.
I'm Bruce Merrill.
He also would like to know what your age is. So you
my
tell
age,
him your age.
78. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if it's really true, but now people do refer to us as the two oldest gay men in America. We do, have maybe a record relationship of almost 60 years together. Bruce's memory started going bad in 1984. Fortunately, we have our music together, which we've done over the years. We've written any number of songs. Bruce remembers the melodies very well and the lyrics of the songs.
When you touched me, when you took my hand, something happened I had never planned.
Being gay before Stonewall was a very difficult proposition, because we felt that in order to survive, we had to try to look and act as straight as possible. The general attitude of society, as far as employers were concerned and landlords, all of these people were very hostile, and to protect ourselves, we had to act as rugged and manly as possible to get by in
my name
in
is Randy Wicker. I was the first openly gay person to appear on radio in 1962 and on television in 1964 as a self-identified homosexual. In the year before Stonewall, people felt a need to hide because of the precarious legal position they were in. They would lose their jobs. There was a great hostility, socially speaking, in the sense that people found out you were gay, they assumed you were a communist or a child molester or any of another dozen stereotypes that were rampant in the public media at the time.
I'm Jerry Fair, and I'm 80 years old. I started a gay lifestyle in 1948 when I was around 39 or 40. At that time, if there was even a suspicion that you were gay, that you were a lesbian, you were fired from your job, and you were in such a position of disgrace that you slunk out without saying goodbye even to the people that liked you and you liked. Never even bothered to clean your desk. You just disappeared. You just disappeared. You went quietly because you were afraid that the recriminations that would come if you even stood there and protested would be worse than just leaving.
My name is Sylvia Rivera,
My name before that was Ray Rivera until I started dressing in drag in 1961. The era before Stonewall was a hard era. There was always the gay bashings on the drag queens by heterosexual men, women, and the police. We learned to live with it because it was part of the lifestyle at that time, I guess. But none of us were very happy about it.
My name is Seymour Pine. In 1968, I was assigned as deputy inspector in charge of public morals in the first division in the police department, which covered South Manhattan from 38th Street to the Battery, including the Greenwich Village area. It was the duty of public morals to enforce all laws concerning vice and gambling, including prostitution, narcotics, and laws and regulations concerning homosexuality. The part of the penal code which applied to drag queens was section 240.35, section 4. Being masked or in any manner disguised by unusual or unnatural attire or facial alteration, loiters, remains, or congregates in a public
place. At that time, we lived at the Arista Hotel. Except we sit around to try to figure out when this harassment would come to an end. And we would always dream that one day it would come to an end. And we prayed and we looked for it. We wanted to be human beings.
My name is Red Mahoney. I've been hanging out, drinking, partying, and working in the gay bars for the last 30 years. In the era before Stonewall, all of the bars, 90% of the bars, were mafia-controlled. They were controlled because the mafia had the right connections. There wasn't that many gay bars. It had maybe one, two uptown on the Upper East Side. They would get closed down, and there'd be one or two on the West Side. They'd get closed down, and Midtown, there'd be one, two, three, maybe open. As they would get closed down, they'd move around, and they would dump.
I'm Joe Nessel, co-founder of what is now the largest collection of lesbian culture in the world. The police raided lesbian bars regularly, and they did it. They both did it in the most obvious way, which was hauling women away in paddy wagons. But there was regular weekend harassment, which would consist of the police coming in regularly to get their payoffs. And in the Sea Colony, we had a back room with a red light. And when that red light went on, it meant the police would be arriving in around 10 minutes. And so we all had to sit down at our tables. And we would be sitting there almost like school children. And the cops would come in. Now, depending on who was on, which cop was on, if it was some that really resented the butch women, who were with many times very beautiful women, we knew we were in for it, because what would happen is they would start harassing one of these women and saying, "Huh, you think you're a man? Come outside, we'll show you." And the woman would be dragged away. They'd throw up against a wall, and they'd say, "So you think you're a man? Let's see what you got in your pants." And they would put their hand down her pants.
The Stonewall, oh, that was a good one. That was. Just to get into the Stonewall, you'd walk up and you'd knock on the front door. You'd knock and the little door would open and, "Hey, what do you want?" "A Mary sent me." "Good, come on in, girls." You know, when you walked in, to your right was your barroom, and no windows. Down at the far end of the bar was an opening in the wall going into the dance room with the jukebox in that room, and no windows in that room either. The Stonewall, like all gay bars at that time, were painted black. Charcoal black. And what was the funny part? The place would be so dimly lit, but as soon as the cops are going to come in to collect their percentage or whatever they were coming in for, from it being a nice, dimly lit dump, the place was lit up like Luna Park. You felt, well, two guys, and that's very often all we sent in would be two men, could handle 200 people. I mean, you tell them to leave, and they leave, and you say, show me your identification, and they all take out their identification and file out, and that's it. And you say, okay, you're not a man, you're a woman, or you're vice versa, and you wait over there. I mean, this is a kind of power that you have, and you never gave it a second thought.
The drag queen took a lot of oppression, and we had to... We were at a point where I guess nothing would have stopped us. I guess, as they say, or as Shakespeare says, we were ladies in waiting, just waiting for the thing to happen. And when it did happen, we were there.
On Friday night, June 27, 1969, at about 11:45, eight officers from Public Morals 1st Division loaded into four unmarked police cars. From their headquarters on 21st Street and 3rd Avenue, they headed downtown and then west towards the Stonewall Inn here at 7th Avenue and Christopher Street. It was the second time the bar was raided that week. The local 6th precinct had just received a new commanding officer who kicked off his tenure by initiating a series of raids on gay bars. And New York was in the midst of a mayoral campaign, always a bad time for homosexuals. Mayor John Lindsay had good reason to agree to the police crackdown. He had just lost his party's primary and needed a popularity boost. And the Stonewall Inn was indeed an inviting target. Operated by the Gambino crime family without a liquor license, this dance bar drew a crowd of drag queens, hustlers, minors, and more masculine lesbians known as bull dykes. Many were black or Hispanic. It was a warm night in New York City and a somber day for many. Judy Garland, who had died earlier in the week, was buried that morning. It was almost precisely at midnight that the Moral Squad pulled up to the Stonewall Inn, led by Deputy Inspector Seymour Pine.
There was never any reason to feel that anything of any unusual situation would occur that night.
He could actually feel it, yeah. He really could. I guess Judy Garland's death just really helped us really hit the fan.
For some reason, things were different this night. As we were bringing the prisoners out, they were resisting.
People started gathering in front of the Sheridan Square Park right across the street from Stonewall. People were upset. No, we're not going to go. And people started screaming and hollering.
One drag queen, as we put her in the car, opened the door on the other side and jumped out, at which time we had to chase that person, and he was caught, put back into the car. He made another attempt to get out the same door, the other door, and at that point we had to handcuff the person. From this point on, things really began to get crazy.
My name is Robert Rivera, and my nickname is Birdie, and I've been cross-dressing all of my life. I remember the night of the riots. The police were escorting the queens out of the bar and into the paddy wagon. And there was this one particularly outrageously beautiful queen with stacks and stacks of Elizabeth Taylor-style hair. And she was asking them not to push her. And they continued to push her, and she turned around and she mashed the cop with her high heel. She knocked him down, and then she proceeded to frisk him for the keys to the handcuffs that were on him. She got them, and she undid herself and passed them to another queen that was behind her.
Well, that's when all hell broke loose at that point.
And then we had to get back into the Stonewall.
My name is Howard Smith. On the night of the Stonewall riots, I was a reporter for the Village Voice, locked inside with the police, covering it for my column. It really did appear that that crowd, because we could look through little peepholes in the plywood windows, we could look out, and we could see that the crowd, well, my guess was within 5-10 minutes, it was probably several thousand people. See, 2,000, easy. And they were yelling, kill the cops, police brutality, let's get them, we're not going to take this anymore, let's get them.
A group of persons attempting to uproot one of the parking meters, in which they did succeed. And they then used that parking meter to as a battering ram to break down the door. And they did, in fact, open the door. They crashed it in. And at that point was when they began throwing Molotov cocktails into the place. It was a situation that we didn't know how we were going to be able to control.
I remember someone throwing a Molotov cocktail. I don't know who the person was, but I mean, I saw that and I just said to myself in Spanish, I said, oh my God, the revolution is finally here. And I just like started screaming, freedom. We're free at last, you know, and it felt really good.
There were a couple of cops stationed on either side of the door with their pistols, like in a combat stance, aimed in the door area. A couple others were stationed in other places, behind like a pole, another one behind the bar. All of them with their guns ready. I don't think up to that point I had ever seen cops that scared.
Remember, these were pros, but everybody was frightened. There's no question about that. I know I was frightened. And I've been in combat situations, and there was never any time that I felt more scared than I felt that night. And, I mean, there was just, you know, there was no place to run.
When the Morrill Squad officers barricaded themselves inside the Stonewall, Deputy Inspector Pine put in a 1041 call, an emergency help request which can only be placed by a high-ranking officer. That call was mysteriously canceled, and the telephone inside the Stonewall went dead. It took nearly 45 minutes for the riot police to get to the Stonewall and rescue the Morrill Squad from the smoldering bar.
Once the tactical police force showed up, I think that really incited us a little bit.
Yeah. My name is Martin Boyce. In 1969, I was a drag queen known as Miss Martin. I remember on that night, when we saw the riots, all of us drag queens, we linked arms, like the Rockettes, and sang the song we used to sing. We are the village girls, we wear our hair in curls, we wear our dungarees above our nelly knees. And the police went crazy hearing that, and they just immediately rushed us. We gave one kick and fled.
My name is Rudy, and the night of the Stonewall, I was 18. And to tell you the truth, that night I was doing more running than fighting. I remember looking back on 10th Street. And there on Waverly Street, there was a police, I believe, on his cop, and is on his stomach in his tactical uniform and his helmet and everything else, with a drag queen straddling him. She was beating the hell out of him with her shoe. Whether it was a high heel or not, I don't know. But she was beating the hell out of him. It was hysterical.
My name is Mama Jean. I'm a lesbian, and I guess you would label me as a butch. I remember on that night, I was in a gay bar, a women's bar, called Cookies. We were coming out of the gay bar, going toward 8th Street. And that's when we saw everything happen, blasting away, people getting beat up, police coming from every direction, hitting women as well as men with their nightsticks. Gay men running down the street with blood all over their face.
we decided right then and there whether he's scared or not. We didn't think about it. We just jumped in.
But here, this queen is going completely bananas, you know, jumping and hitting the windshield. And next thing you know, the taxi cab was being turned over, or the cars were being turned over. Things, windows were shattering all over the place. Fires were burning around the place. It was beautiful. It really was.
I remember one cop coming at me, hitting me with the nightstick in the back of my legs. I broke loose and I went after him. I grabbed his nightstick. My girlfriend went behind him. She was a strong Southern girl. I wanted him to feel the same pain I felt. And I kept on saying to him, "How do you like the pain? Do you like it? Do you like it?" I kept on hitting him and hitting him. I was angry. I wanted to kill him. At that particular minute, I wanted to
do every destructive thing that I could think of at that time to hurt anyone that had hurt us through the years.
It's like just when you see a man protecting his own life. They weren't the queens that people called them. They were men fighting for their lives. And I fight alongside them any day, no matter how old I was.
There are a lot of heads for that. But it didn't hurt their true feelings. They all came back from war. That's when you could tell that nothing could stop us from that time or at any time in the future.
The media covered the riot extensively. The Daily News featured it on its front page. There were reports on all the local television and radio stations. By the next day, graffiti calling for gay power had appeared on buildings and sidewalks all over the West Village. Hastily worked up flyers, distributed on street corners, touted the night as the hairpin drop heard round the world. And the next night, thousands of men and women converged on the West Village. They came here, back to the Stonewall, to see what would happen next. While trash cans were set on fire, stones were thrown, and sporadic fighting broke out between police and gays, the more than 400 riot police milling around the village ensured that the previous night's violence would not be repeated. But on this night, for the first time, gay couples could be seen walking hand in hand or kissing in the streets. Just by being there, surrounded by reporters and photographers and onlookers, thousands of men and women were proclaiming to themselves and the rest of the world that they were gay. And the crowds grew and came back the next night, and for one more night the following week. What happened here on those nights helped to usher in a new era, both personally and politically, for gay men and lesbians.
Oh, when Stonewall happened, Bruce and I were still in the closet, where we had been for nearly 40 years. But we realized that this was a tremendous thing that had happened at Stonewall, and it gave us a feeling that we were not going to be remaining closeted for very much longer. And soon thereafter, we did come out of the closet.
My name is Ginny Apuzzo. In 1969, I was in the convent. I was in the Sisters of Charity, and when Stonewall hit the press, it hit me with a bolt of lightning. It was as if I had an incredible release of my own outrage at having to sequester so much of my life. I made my way down. I seem to recall in subsequent nights being down on the, you know, kind of just in the periphery looking, observer, clearly an observer, clearly longing to have that courage to come out. And as I recall, it was only a matter of weeks before I left the convent and started a new life.
I'm Henry Baird. In 1969, I was in the U.S. Army, a Specialist 3 stationed at Long Binh Post near Saigon in Vietnam. I remember I was having lunch in the Army mess, reading the Armed Forces news summary of the day. And there was a short paragraph describing a riot led by homosexuals in Greenwich Village against the police. And my heart was filled with joy. I thought about what I had read frequently, but I had no one to discuss it with. And secretly within myself, I decided that when I came back stateside, if I should survive to come back stateside, I would come out as a gay person. And I did.
For those of us in public morals, after the Stonewall incident, things were completely changed from what they had previously been. They suddenly were not submissive anymore. They now suddenly had gained a new type of courage. And it seemed as if they didn't care anymore about whether they were whether their identities were made known. We were now dealing with human beings.
My name is Jim Forat, and in the mid-60s, along with Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin, I was one of the founders of the Yippie movement. I remember on the third night of the riots, there was this meeting called by Mattachine Society at St. John's Church on Waverly Place. We went, and Randy Wicker was running the meeting.
For 10 years, I've been going on television as Randy Wicker, a respectable homosexual dressed in dark suit and tie, explaining to people that most homosexuals look like everybody else and behave like everybody else. And when Stonewall began happening, you had chorus lines of queens kicking their heels up at the police, and bonfires burning in the corner trash baskets and throwing bricks and stones at the police. I was horrified because this violated everything that we thought of as responsible behavior, that this was not the way respectable citizens behaved.
Evelyn Hooker was a sociologist, I believe. Randy had introduced her, and she got up and she suggested that we should have a candlelight march, that we should turn the other cheek because gay people were really different, we were really nice, and we had to show how nice we were and stop all this rioting because people were going to get hurt. I remember I stood up and I said, no, we are not going back. And people felt the same thing I felt. And we marched out of that room, and that was the night that the Gay Liberation Front was born.
Today I live in a senior citizen apartment building. What's different now is that I can be free. I have a daughter who's a senior citizen, and my son is 58. They know about my homosexuality. My three grandchildren in their 30s know about their grandmother. I have a great-granddaughter who at the age of 10 learned that Grandma Jerry was a lesbian, and she thought that was most interesting. And yet I still don't have the personal courage to not care if these yentas in the building know that Jerry's a lesbian.
Well, I retired from the police department in 1976. 20 years have passed. I'm going to be 70 in a few months. I still don't know the answers. I would still like to know the answer. I would like to know whether I was wrong or whether I was right in ever thinking that there was a difference, and ever thinking that maybe you shouldn't trust a homosexual because something is missing in his personality.
The archives of lesbian culture, which surrounds us now and was created 4 years after Stonewall, owes, at least for my part, its creation to that night and the courage that found its voice in the streets. That night, in some very deep way, we finally found our place in history. Not as a dirty joke, not as a doctor's case study, not as a freak, but as a people.
Remembering Stonewall was engineered by Spider Blue. It was produced by David Isay with a grant from the Pacifica National Program Fund. I'm Michael Shirker. I'm
Today I'm a 38-year-old drag queen. I can keep my long hair, I can pluck my eyebrows, and I can work wherever the hell I want. And I'm not going to change for anybody. If I change, then I feel that I'm losing what 1969 brought into my life. And that was to be totally free.
How can I ever close the door and be the same as I was before? Darling, no, no, I can't anymore. It's too late. No.
Years after Stonewall, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people are celebrating Pride Day around the globe. We're still fighting for basic human rights. We're fighting for our lives from Serbia and Lebanon to the Castro District. We'll look at AIDS organizing, Latino LGBT organizing, transgender rights, and the contribution of queer intellectuals, and much, much more. Tune in to Pacifica's LGBT special called Pride and Resistance. Check your local station's website for details.
PPFT airs the National Pride Special on Monday at 7 p.m., followed by Queer Voices at 8 p.m. You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
Well, that should be exciting to listen to and tape tomorrow night. And, well, Monday night. For us, it's still Saturday nights. Anyway, that last half hour was called Salute to Stonewall. It was done, oh, I know, 15, 20 years ago, but it remains the best, the absolute best.
You want to try a little older?
What?
The date on here says September 1989.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. well, anyway, that's still the best history, oral history that we have of, so to speak, of the Stonewall riots and why we march, why we have our Pride Parade at the end of June. It's our 4th of July for the queer community.
The hairpin drop heard around the world.
That's how it was reported by the Village Voice.
Well, that, you know, the queen bees are buzzing. Mm, I think that was the other.
That was the other one. Yes. Yes. Yeah. But because it has interviews with the actual people who were there, because most of them are dead now.
They were joking about that with.
Yeah.
They were reading off the ages, and it's like,
ooh.
You know, because we're going. You know, I'm 79, and we're going, so now that would make them
dead. 105, yeah.
No, that would make them dead. Most likely dead.
Yeah. Sylvia Rivera, who's featured prominently in that segment, was interviewed twice on this show. She became an advocate for the homeless, especially transgendered homeless, back when she threw the
proverbial first shoe,
yes. The word transgendered hadn't even been coined yet. It was just drag queens. So we have come so far in so little time. We've got kind of like everybody from the crew here.
Yes.
And I'd like to get impressions of the parade or what pride means to them. Or I just wanted to talk about pride for the last half hour of the show. Just jump in there. Okay, Bobby.
What? Who? Uh-huh.
Speak.
You know...
Speak, Satar. Speak.
I went and had my name put on my arm for a reason.
Yes.
So people would stop calling me by my other name.
Okay, Merlin. Papa Merlin.
Anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the happiest little marathon I ever ran. But apparently they think the gimpy guy is now the bionic woman. I was a block away from my float at one point.
Oh my God.
That's when they picked me up and said, get on the float.
Okay.
All in all, there are a few things that struck me, and that little detail. I'm used to there being large gaps between groups. That just seems to happen every year these days. There seemed to be a much more important detail that I noticed. The average, what appeared to be the average age of the crowd watching the parade.
Yes.
I think I saw more people this year who are obviously under the age of 25 than I have ever seen in the, years that I've been coming to this parade.
Let me ask you another question, because I know that you've been a participant in the parade for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm, for 6 or 7 now.
What is it that makes you want to march in the Pride Parade every year?
Well, because although I grew up in New York, I grew up on Long Island, and I grew up in a very small white town where the most diversity we had was the Chinese family that ran the candy stop, the candy store.
Uh-huh.
And being out of the closet and a disabled, and somebody who was identified as disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Was a very weird thing in that life. And to be able to come to a place and be out of the closet and be exactly who I am, and people, you know, I get looked at and whatever, but there are still more people who treat me just like me, you know, just me. And to see that many people in one place on one day to celebrate something which not so many years ago would have found us, you know, dead on in an alley somewhere or hung by our own necks in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
There is a moment that happens every year in the parade, and it's happened every year that I've participated, where the overwhelming love that is, you know, given out by people is makes me want to just start crying. And that's why, because it is our day to say, okay, this is who we are, this is how far we have come, and we have come far enough to say the rest of the world has to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
We are here, and we are out, and we are a part of their world. We always have been, but now we have the strength to say, not only are we a part of your world, you have to take the time to notice. Okay. You know,
a lot of times for me is, I've done with PFLAG for 6 years now. My dad and I have built the floats for PFLAG for 6 years. And to go down and turn that corner there by the pool Mary's. Hall, where
Slick Willie's,
is, and see that crowd and see the people actually crying because there's parents that are supportive of their gay children. And for me to sit there and on the sidelines and say, this is my dad, this is my mom, and actually see them crying, that wishing that their parents would be there, that's what drives me back every year.
You have great parents.
One of the parents of one of our people who was actually with us in the parade this year, in our group in the parade, which was really cool. Our friend Bobby, who I refer to as our multilingual, he loves languages, but his father actually marched with us.
That's awesome.
Which was just very cool. I mean, that kind of support is just like, yep. Wow.
Okay.
For me, I got out of it just actually seeing people bringing their young kids to the parade.
There were more families
and
there
more
than
families. Right. Yeah. And you see, you see real old straight people. People that you would never think you would see. I mean, it's like you see all these people and it's like, this is the second time you're doing this, so it's like I get like a really serious burn rush from it because everybody's like cheering you on, you know, they so glad that this is happening. And to me, it's like it's like the Mullet King Parade or something. It's the same energy because it's like we worked so hard to get where we at, and then all these people. When you go to Mullet King Parade, you're going to see all different races in the audience looking at this parade. It's representing African Americans or minorities in general. So it's like the same thing. It's like you got all these straight people and people bringing their kids. They're not afraid.
You
that
come to
kids.
Our parade and it's everybody. Yeah. It is black, white, yellow, brown.
Everybody, yes. Ooh. And that's
young,
what really.
Young, old, straight, gay. Yeah.
That's what really. And that sometimes I want to cry just seeing all those people. It just makes me want to just tear up, and then I get this energy. I be so pumped up afterwards. Even today, when I have to run most of the time, I'm so pumped up.
We have a new voice in the talk studio tonight who participated in the KPFT entry. Would you like to identify yourself, please?
Yes, I'm David Salerno.
Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing, Jimmy?
Welcome to After Hours. You are kind of new to our city.
Yes, I am. I've only been here for about 2 years, and I'm so amazed at the culture and the diversity that the city has to offer. I came from Miami, and I've been an activist myself for quite a number of years for human rights issues, whether it be immigrant issues or whether it be gay GLBT issues. It's too important. For me, Pride means actually getting out there, getting people active, get out there to vote. But also the support that I saw today, I kind of felt like a celebrity. It's kind of embarrassing because having lived on South Beach, Miami, you see celebrities all the time and I don't think anything about it, but it was kind of like, wow. What support? I felt like a homecoming or something. It was really good.
Yeah, I wanted to get your impression of the Houston parade as compared to other parades you've seen.
Well, the community is so much more with it together. Miami's more like a transient. I hate to say that word transient, but it's a party town. People don't really take. We don't have a pride in Miami. Fort Lauderdale does. Mm-hmm. They have it in February or something like that. But it's Miami doesn't. We couldn't get one together. But it's about that activism. It's getting that political awareness there. And I think the support was there because we're living in a time that is so radical against us. You know, there's this Christian evangelical movement that's trying to actually, it's not just about the right to vote, but it's about the right to survive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where we're, I'm seeing support that, just kind of does bring tears to your eyes in a way. And it just amazed me. And just what a great city to live in.
You're still invited to do Nude Radio.
I'll take you up on it someday.
Okay. You heard that, folks.
Moving more of these shorts, which might as well be.
And, speak up, please.
Oh, sorry. It's just these shorts I'm wearing. If I move any more, it's about to be Nude Radio.
Ah, and that would be okay. And how was your experience with the parade?
My experience, it's actually only my second year to be at Pride. Since I've actually just recently come out of the closet about 2 years ago, actually. And so, to come here.
And those shorts were the only thing you grabbed when you came out?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. We are so happy about that.
That doesn't bother any of us here at all.
No.
Yes, we do. They're still on.
It doesn't even bother me. Uh-huh.
So, to come out
Daisy
to Pride.
Daisy Dukes on a 6'10" man is
hot.
It's a very hot thing.
Yeah. No. I want your impression.
6'10".
I want.
10 inches,
all right. It's amazing how everybody just catches on the second half of that.
10 inches nude radio, what next?
We're going to play music for the rest of the hour.
I want your impression of the parade.
My impression is that, it's just amazing that I can come here and, even every day, I've just moved down to this part of town in January. And so to come down here is just amazing.
Liberating?
To be with people, yes, liberating. To be with people like me.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can be myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to be who I am or show who I am.
Good. That's what it's about. And what our fight is for you to be able to live anywhere in the city and feel that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever I went to pick up my friends that live in Tomball, we walked into Kroger and people are just staring at me.
What a hot man.
Tomball, that bastion of,
liberalism
and open-mindedness in general.
Yes, up in Tomball, they don't roll that way.
Oh, God, I remember
that. That's that phrase. That's the phrase used up there, I think.
Yeah, where I work. I've had two people in the past month who didn't like their orders because when you take red or burgundy and you do a shade of it, it looks kind of pinkish. And the first guy who said it, said, I don't roll that way. And I'm like, so we've used this joke, just beat this dead horse, you know, of this joke. So anything that comes up, we don't roll that way. We don't roll that way. And I've already started screaming at him, look, I roll that way. Okay. And it's not just because I'm big.
Ozzy?
Well, you come
from a different perspective.
A very different perspective.
Good. That's why I want your opinion.
It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here to the Pride for 5 years now.
Really? That many?
Yeah. But, this year just...
Because you're only 21.
Right. But it just, I don't know, it seemed a little different.
Mm-hmm.
In past years, it'd been, it seemed more extravagant with, more coverage. I didn't really see a lot of it here.
Okay.
So, I was just kind of what's going on?
Think people held back this year?
I think so. Well, that too. I try to listen to the KPFT float, but I was like, I got to a certain point, I'm just going to sit down. But, in Pride in general is kind of like a breath of fresh air, in this whole monotony for the rest of the year. It's just, it culminates in this one day where you can actually, hold on to something and keep going.
Sort of like queer Christmas.
Pretty much. And, I was hanging out.
Well, I tried unwrapping some presents earlier, but I was denied.
Well, I was trying myself, but...
I was sitting over there, and this girl, she didn't really know what we were celebrating or commemorating. So I told her the story about Stonewall.
Good for you.
To the best of my ability.
Good for you.
Yeah, just the look on her face was like, wow, this is really it? It's not so trivial, we're gay, we're just here.
We're here, we're queer, let's party.
Yeah. No.
It's a much deeper matter, It's...
Yeah, people don't realize that the first parades were actually protests.
Yeah.
More than celebrations. But as we have become more a part of the societal fabric, we can make it a celebration.
But it's awesome to just walk up and down the streets and see more families, mm-hmm. more complete families hanging out there, having beer and, just being around each other. It's just seeing these families, it's just,
mm-hmm.
it moves you, you really can't explain it. It just leaves you awestruck.
Because there's,
I think you're right.
There's a lot of people who wouldn't have thought at all about ever bringing their kids to this parade not so very long ago.
That's true.
Want in on this?
Yeah. We have another voice here.
Oh, you could have just hung over Jimmy there. He wouldn't have minded.
I would have loved it, actually.
the June meeting of PFLAG, the Pride Houston actually came and did a history of the Pride mm-hmm. in Houston. And it was very... I didn't know the movements, the original movements back when we first started the protests down on, they were restricted to the sidewalks and they had to walk on the sidewalks mm-hmm. and by the time they got to downtown it had grown too large and they actually had to take the streets
mm-hmm.
and I forgot who was the lady who was talking
Anita
down.
Bryant.
Yeah. And
sure, a bundle of bouncing bundle of personality.
And they went down to, she was speaking at the Hyatt downtown, and you couldn't even hear her come on stage with the microphones for the people outside protesting her being there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I wish I was there to hear it. But
I loved the Mary sign, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That so was the first thing I noticed when I got there.
We have a new voice, another new voice. Mm. Who was...
He's calling you out now.
Yeah, and the next candidate for Nude Radio.
Oh, yeah. I am calling him out. I don't know how many Pride parades you've seen, but I'd like your impression of this one.
Well,
And your name is?
My name is Dion. What's up, Radio Man?
Hey.
Hey, my name is Dion, and this is my first Pride parade. It was...
Really?
Yay. It was interesting.
Ooh, a virgin.
Kind of dirty.
We had the virgin, folks.
Oh, yeah.
But it was cool to see, like a lot of my fellow mm-hmm. friends speaking out right now. It was cool to see more of an empirical idea, meaning it was cool to see people coming together regardless of what orientation it was.
Mm-hmm.
You could see fear, like, disintegrating, you know. And me, myself, being a bisexual African-American male and have a girlfriend who knows my orientation, it was kind of for me to, like, you know, step out there and say, hey, here I am, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it was cool also to show people that, you know, it's all about family, as they say. But it was exciting. A lot of people say they have different opinions, but, you know, I'm going to be back again next year, so then I can form a truer opinion. But my first impression was definitely a good one.
Good. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're getting close here to the end.
Are we now?
Yeah. And I'm going to end.
Was there anybody that didn't get a chance to talk in there?
Roy.
Everybody looks at Roy. There's a first.
And the show ends. But anyhow.
And the music comes up, Dad.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed this year's Pride Parade. It did go rather quickly. But with all these families that do come out, I think it shows that it's also very liberating for the straight folks and for the straight families that they can come out and support gay people, other gay family members, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender family members. It's really kind of amazing to me how this, you know, really works like this year after year, and the crowd was just so big, and I just really loved that chandelier. I mean,
Oh,
my God.
It was
real.
That chandelier just took my breath away.
And that sign on Mary's, mm-hmm. that was the bomb.
I didn't see
Well, Chance has also had a sign that said, keep the parade mantras.
Nice.
One thing to remember is this, everyone.
No.
Pride is not just a day in June or, God forbid, a day in September.
Oh.
It's every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you carry in your heart. You don't have to walk down the street. And I'm ending with a joke.
A joke?
A joke.
A joke.
My sister-in-law sent me this joke, and suddenly it hit me that this joke is appropriate for today.
Okay.
It's called The Pastor's Donkey.
Here we go.
Wait a minute. I dated him.
The pastor entered his donkey in a race and it won. The pastor was so pleased with the donkey, he entered it in another race and won again. The local paper read, "Pastor's ass out front." Just wait. The bishop was so upset by this kind of publicity, they ordered the pastor not enter the donkey in any more races. So the next day, the local paper headline read, "Bishop scratches the pastor's ass." This was too much for the bishop, so he ordered the pastor to get rid of the donkey. The pastor said to give it to a nun in a nearby convent. The local paper, hearing the news, posted the following headline, "Nun has the best ass in town." The bishop fainted. He informed the nun that she would have to get rid of the donkey, so she sold it to a farmer for $10. Next day, the headlines read, Nun sells ass for $10. This was too much for the bishop, so he ordered the nun to buy back the donkey, and it led to the lead it to the high plains where it could run free. The next day, the headlines read, Nun announces her ass is wild and free. Alas, the bishop was buried the next day.
Oh.
The moral of the story? Being concerned about public opinion can bring you much grief and misery and even shorten your life. So be yourself and enjoy life. And stop worrying about everyone else's ass and you'll live longer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
That is good for today.
That is a good one.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This has been our Pride special, and like I said, Pride is 365, 24/7. Keep it in your heart. Who, no matter where we march next year, when we march, we'll have it here.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Let's jam in the international style on Music Beyond Borders every Tuesday and Thursday from 2 to 3 p.m. KPFT Houston, Texas, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston.
Resurrecting the Black Family is the theme of the 28th Annual National Black United Front Convention in Houston, Texas, Thursday, July 12th through Sunday, July 15th. Dr. Conrad Worrell, Sister Filet Chianisu, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Daruba Ben Wahad, Quan L. Lex, MC Zen, Sister Tiedra Bandelli, and many more local and national representatives will address resurrecting the Black Family. Join us Thursday, July the 12th at 7 p.m. for the convention kickoff and community forum. Black Male and Female Relationships is free and open to the public at the Shape Community Center, 3903 Alameda. Call 713-942-0365 or mbufhouston.org. That's 713.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.